That's all they really want. Libertarians really just like, just leave me alone, man. Just leave me alone. Just let me go about my day. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, that's what laissez-faire comes from. The term laissez-faire comes from like some French guy. I think the story is like a king was asking some French peasant what he can do for him. Uh-huh. And he goes, laissez-faire, leave me alone. Like, that's like,
that's,
yeah,
what, you
like,
do for
that's
me.
What you can do for me. Shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians, look at their mansions and look at the conditions you live in. All they talk about is terrorism on television. They tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you their mission. They funded Al-Qaeda, and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Bin Laden was a CIA tactician, they gave him billions of dollars and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11 after scratching the surface. Fuck the government.
That's my impression of a Canadian Native American. they're not saying anything in the impression, but that's the impression. Like somebody just said something to them, like something of import, and they're like, "All right, here's this important thing," and then Bob responds, As he looks at other people. Imagine him looking at other people. The worst part is that's the best impression I can do. Hi everybody, how are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm recording this from my hotel room in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I'm looking out. I got a nice balcony. They gave me a really nice balcony in this hotel room. You can really live like a human. It's nice. You fucking look out over the whole city. You see the snow-capped mountains in the background. Smoke a joint in the patio. Fucking live like a free human. Smoke a joint on the balcony where not even the hotel staff would have a problem with what you're doing. Close the door behind you. Smoke outside. It's not hurting anybody. It's not even hurting myself. I'm not smoking cigarettes, although it was like I was sitting on the patio going like, this seems like the right place to smoke a cigarette. This seems like the right environment. And then I was like, oh, I have a joint inside. I'll smoke that. On the fucking 12th floor of a balcony. It was great. It's great. Then I took a walk. I got so many heavy handshakes. Oh my God. The first night in Calgary, I got like so many heavy handshakes. I got all this weed. And then this one couple gave me these caramellos. I don't know if you know what a caramello is. Caramel. It's not the kind that they have in, it's like Hershey's or whatever. It's not that at all. These are handmade caramellos, but they're just marshmallows dipped in caramel. And of all the delicious things I've had in my mouth, this was, I don't know. It was amazing. God, I wish I could think of metaphors better. It was so fucking good. And I walked around. I went downstairs, got outside the hotel room, walked around Calgary. It was like 75, 80 degrees. I packed another joint in my pocket just in case I needed one. High off my mind. Enjoying the world. As a happy person, happy in the world. Not hurting anybody. Not doing anything to anyone. Maybe you're like, well, you don't know. Well, shut up. Nobody knows anything. Worst thing I did, I threw the end of my joint, I threw it off the balcony, and then I realized it went onto a roof down there, and in a few years, somebody's going to probably have to clean that up. So that was the damage I brought. The rest, just happy, found a park, sat there in the shade. It was so good. And all these, they have this beautiful thing in Calgary, it's this old estate, and they converted it into a public park. I don't even know what it's called. Some dude, wait, did I write it down? I don't think so. No, didn't say what it was. Yeah, I sat there and did some writing. It was fucking awesome. This city's cool. By the way, why don't they have farm-raised lions? Somebody should get on that. If they farm-raised lion meat, now, I'm sure it wouldn't be as good as wild lion meat, but, I mean, it's better than nothing, which is what we have now. We have no access to lion meat. Yeah, so I walked around feeling good about myself, getting some sun, nodding to people on the sidewalk. By the way, nobody in Calgary jaywalks. It's weird as shit. They all just stand there. It's not. I know LA, no people jaywalk, but they do in LA a little bit. Here, nobody does. No cars are coming. You look both ways, and you're like, what is everyone waiting for? And then you cross. They don't judge you. They don't look at you bad. They just won't participate. I passed one dude who jaywalked, one other dude, and we looked at each other like we were in a fucking Twilight Zone episode. Like, are you believing this, man? Just with our eyes. Like, it's not just me, right? None of these people fucking jaywalk. Anyway, walking around, seeing the sights, it was great. Just enjoying myself. Really like that. There's these last, bastions of fucking freedom that we have left as citizens of the world before the police state that America is becoming. It stops us from doing everything. People say, like, all you should do is worry about, like, oh, the government's taking over, you know, this problem, gun control. It's like, yeah, that's true. But in all this fight and whatever Occupy Wall Street tried to do and whatever the Tea Party tried to do, I'm not party-based. I see justifications in what both those people are trying to do, trying to accomplish, trying to get the government out of our fucking lives a little bit and leave us the fuck alone. And as you think about these problems, you know, fucking faking going to war with Syria, faking reasons for it, the NSA spying on us, the TSA, you know how I feel about them, fucking violating our civil rights all the time. And for the sake of not even security, most bombs, most fake bombs that they test them with, like they try to get through with fake bombs, like their internal affairs, most of them get through. Two people have ever tried to smuggle a bomb since the TSA was around onto a plane, and they both got on the plane. That's their record, 0 for 2. And we're faced with all these problems, the government just spying on us. Even when we think we have like even when courts have said you have a reasonable right to privacy. You know, our government doesn't really represent us anymore, and it's becoming that way. And then people say, well, that's all you should worry about. You shouldn't worry about other things in life. And I say no. I say the beautiful things in life, a walk in the park. I mean, it's ironic probably that I have to go to Canada to find kind of a joy, a freedom of just a joy of walking in a park, smoking some weed, eating sunflower seeds. I found sunflower seeds, leftover sunflower seeds. Some fan gave me a Madison in my bag. I was like, oh, these will go perfect. Man, those caramellos were good. You guys have no idea. Whew. Whatever couple that was that gave them to me, thank you. And for all the heavy handshakes, thank you. But I say, no, it's our rights, our last few reasonable rights that we have, our last few freedoms that we have. Enjoy the fuck out of them. Here or there, when you can see something awesome, fucking enjoy it. Because soon it's going to get taken all away from us. I really believe that. We are entering a police state more and more and more. I mean, it's becoming obvious. We all know they lied about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They just lied. We all know that now. And then with Syria, people are starting to get the picture. It was like 8-1 that U.S. citizens are against going to Syria. And, you know, so Obama's like, all right, I'll go to the Congress. And at first it looked like Congress was going to say, yeah, go. And then it looked like Congress was not going to say, yeah, don't go. They're going to say, don't. We don't want you to go. And Ron Paul's son, Rand Paul, asked John Kerry, the Secretary of State, I guess. He was like, so if we vote not to go, will you not go? Or will you go anyway? And Kerry just refused to answer. The pictures they showed of people being gassed, those were not in Syria. Those were different pictures. he was aware of what pictures he was showing. They're just intentionally lying to draw up support. Like, they don't care about us. And fine, they won't go. We'll try to find a reason. You know, the whatever's happening now in Russia is happening. You know, where Russia's saying, oh, we'll negotiate, you know, a pare down. And you want to say, hey, we should support we should be against these chemical attacks. And I agree. I 100% agree. But aren't we all going broke here? Why are we going to other countries? I mean, why did it take... We've killed over 1 million civilians in Iraq. Human lives that have died in the war. 1 million. We lost 3,000 people. It wasn't 1 million soldiers that got killed. It wasn't 1 million Iraqi soldiers. It was just regular people going to work, going to the mall after school. 1 million of people have died. And then we're going to go into other countries. I think most of us don't support what the government's doing. And so this Skeptic Tank is I don't know, just talk on that subject. My personal take is, from what I see in other regimes falling, is that the only way to topple a regime is through violence. That seems like the only way. Gandhi seemed to work, but he was talking about freeing his own people from an outside, invader or outside occupier. We're occupied from the inside. And the excuse they use for terrorism, they say, well, it's different times. We have to, we can't really follow the Constitution anymore. I've never been a fan of the Constitution. I don't give a fuck. But the people who were in charge back then, who really thought about our freedom, said, hey, we have reasons set up. Well, we'll talk about it in this episode. But the idea that, I didn't cover this, the idea that, well, you know, with terrorism, these are different times and times that our forefathers didn't foresee. And so we have to kind of go around the Constitution. I don't agree with that. When we wrote the Constitution, wasn't there an occupying force in our country right then? Weren't we constantly under attack? We wrote the Constitution while we were fighting to get them out of America. How much more of a danger was that than this outside occasional attack that may or may not come from I don't know whom? We were trying to drive off an army that was on our soil. So no, I don't agree that times are different now than when they drafted the Constitution. I think things were way worse then. And they still cared about our own freedoms. Personal freedom, so we can live as free people. We can smoke a joint going down the street. That act alone doesn't hurt anyone. You might say on top of that, well, people are going to drive when they're stoned, or people are going to give pot to kids, which personally I'm not against either one of those. But if you are, I can see a case for it. But that act alone of me smoking, walking down the street, smoking when nobody's in front of me, eating sunflower seeds, throwing most of them away in the garbage, that act alone didn't hurt anyone. That's just a personal freedom that I can enjoy. I just feel them going away. That's all. And though I'm not ever going to fight in this uprising, I do see an armed military uprising in this country in my lifetime. That's what I think is going to happen. And no, I won't participate because I'm a puss. But I mean, if they don't start attacking civilians, then yeah, I would hope that they would win with as little bloodshed as possible. I don't think our government represents us anymore. Maybe regional government more. People getting streets paved, things like that. I think our federal government. Anyway, you guys, let's get to the episode. I'm just going to do a quick free announcement. No sponsors, but a quick free sponsor. You guys should be watching Squidbillies on Cartoon Network. It's one of the greatest shows around right now. It's amazing. You should have seen too. When I bought all this candy. So I was on my walk. Okay. I bought all this candy. Sorry, I'll lighten it up. I bought all this candy. This Canadian candy. They have so much Canadian candy. First and foremost, Reese's has a peanut butter cup that's crunchy peanut butter. You can't find it anywhere in America. I bought six of those. I bought some Musketeers Truffle Crisps. I don't know if they have those. Monopoly 3D Gummy Bears, a Cadbury Crispy Crunch, some Maynard's Juicy Squirty Berries, some Maynard's Cherry Blasters, three of those, a Mirage Bar, a Snickers Peanut Butter. I don't know if they have that in America. I just bought all these candy at some like gas station. Went to the counter. This lady could not comprehend how this could be for me. She could not understand it. She's like, no, what do you mean? Why are you buying all this candy? Well, I don't have a stone, obviously. But I was like, we can't get this. I'm not from here. I'm from America, and we can't. This candy's not available. She goes, oh, so you're buying it for your young relatives in America? I was like, no. I like candy. I enjoy candy, and I can't find these candies in America. My country doesn't make it. This is not political. But America, you just can't find certain Canadian candies. The Big Turk, you can't find. There's no Turkish Delight wrapped in chocolate in America. Readily can't fucking... So she was like, oh, that's nice. What are you doing for your young nieces and nephews? I'm like, no, they're not nieces and nephews. And she's like, children? And I was like, no, what are you? No, I pull out. Of course not children. They're for me. She goes, well, I enjoy giving this gift. And I was like, what? It's not a language barrier. We're in Canada and you speak English. Fine. Yeah, watch Squidbillies, you guys. All right, let's start the episode. How about that? A couple dates coming up. October 1st, my Storyteller show is recording the next two shows. We are doing stories about travel. We are doing stories about fights. We have amazing lineups. Amazing lineups. It is October 1st at Cheetah's in Hollywood. You can get free tickets, one show only. Don't get tickets at both shows because, trust me, you'll become a tired audience member. That's what happened last time in the second show. The recording wasn't as good. So just do one show. We're going to have plenty of people there. Or if you really want to come to the first show, get in line behind everyone in the second show. And then if we need you, we can let you in. But come to the first show. We need more people there. During the first show is Mr. Who's doing it so far? Fortune Feimster from Chelsea Lately. I'm definitely avoiding telling you the one big name that I want to tell you about. I believe Moshe Kasher. These are all travel stories from... what's their podcast? The Champs podcast with Neil Brennan. And Joe Rogan is doing the first show, telling a travel story. He is doing it, everybody. I'm so happy. He's telling a really good story that I thought he's going to do in his special, and I realized he didn't. He didn't. It's a fucking great story. So, yeah, that's the first story. Second show, I'm doing both. Second show, I'm worried about my travel story. Does anybody remember a good travel story that I did during these shows over the last 3 years? I'm trying to think of one. I can't come across a good one. I know I'm forgetting them. So please tweet me or Facebook me or send me an email at contact@arishafir.com. Yeah. Remind me. I can't fucking think of one. I already have my fight story. I know that's going to be a good one. Also doing the fight story. Boom. Diaz... Renazizi from the league. Who else? Jay Oakerson is doing it. I'm really stoked on that. Fuck, I'm forgetting somebody. I know I'm forgetting people. They're both great lineups. So come out October 1st. Get tickets. They're on my website on the bottom of the page for this post, bottom of last week's post. They're there at the bottom. So click on the link, get tickets. They're free. Come out. Beer and drinks are not free, but it's at a cool strip club. Parking's not that hard. October 1st, Tuesday. Get there early. Fuck, it's going to be great, you guys. All right, so what else do I have coming up? Oh, I'm going to the Cabo Festival. That should be really cool. Maybe I'll record some podcasts from there on the beach from Cabo. It's just like one show. I'm there for 4 days. They're paying for everything. I'm there for like 4 days. I'm doing one show, and I'm just going to hang out by the beach because I'll be done recording that Storyteller show. It's all this fucking work booking it. It's producer shit, you guys. That's hard. It's like, that shit is not what I enjoy doing. But anyway, so then I'll be like done working for like, I'll like actually give myself a vacation to sit on the beach. Maybe I'll record some podcasts while I'm there. Brett Ernst will be there. I want to do one with him a bit about being a loudmouth. That's what he is, everybody. That's what he is. He's come down a little bit. But he used to break up. We had a Super Bowl party at Renazizi's house, and it fucking fully broke up. At the end, we would have gone for another 3 hours. It broke up because Brett Ernst would not stop talking about how Irish people have had it tougher in this country than black people. And we're like, all right, man, we don't really care. He goes, no, listen to me. I mean, it's just we did not care. And he would not stop talking. So I want to do a podcast about what it's like to be a loudmouth. So maybe I'll do a Brett Ernst on the beach at Cabo. And I'm assuming what he's going to wear is a fucking Guido Speedo swimsuit and oil himself up on the beach. I will not be doing that. I will be on the beach. But anyway, and then after that, San Francisco with Joey Diaz at Cobb's, 3 days, October 10th, 11th, 12th. Trying to figure out Melbourne and Sydney for October or early November. It's like coming down to the wire. Perth, Adelaide, you guys are going to have to wait. I'm sorry, till like, I think, May or something. So maybe or maybe not, I'll be going to Melbourne and Sydney in the next month, but I'll tell you if I do. And then after that, I'm going to Cap City Comedy Club, and I think that might be it for my year. Oh, no, St. Louis with Joey Diaz. Tickets are available now. One show only. Okay, you guys, let's start the episode, huh? Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. No sponsors this week. I mean, if you want to help me out, help out the episode, about the podcast, you can get a T-shirt for my merch. Or you can continue to come see me. I had a lot of people come see me in Calgary who were like, yeah, man, listen to the episode, listen to the podcast. I'm like, well, that's why I do it, man. So whatever you want to support with fucking sponsorship shit, that's fine. But I do this podcast so you guys come out and see me. So you can go put my click my Amazon link so I can get like a percentage of cash. It's on my website right there on the top. Click on Amazon. It takes you to Amazon. Then whatever shopping you do, they give me money. So that'll help support getting the comics and stuff. And then and then that's it. Yeah, buy a T-shirt if you want, a Skeptic Tank T-shirt. Monica Ikapatur. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Also, I'm looking for a 2014 shirt. So the 2013 shirts are almost all gone, tour shirts. I'm going to make up a little more for this is a long intro, but fuck it. I'm having fun. I'm going to make up a little more for Austin, and then maybe some of the other cities I do with Diaz. I'll have a few of them. But then I'm looking for a 2014 tour shirt. I had a really cool design of the squid that I might use, but I don't know. I like that Flaming Lips Be Kind to Animals thing. It has nothing to do with them other than in cool lettering it says the Flaming Lips, but it's just kind of a cool design. Like the Muse fucking tour shirts for the year. It's just kind of a cool design that may or may not have like something slightly to do with me, like that squid that I may use. Or we'll use it for something, I think. It was a cool one. Maybe we'll do like Canadian tours too or something like that. I like the idea of a tour shirt. So, fucking, yeah, put the year on it. Some cool design and I'll fucking, I don't know, I'll use them on the road. And they're only going to be available on the road. Now I'll have them available on my website too, but only for the year. And I'll sign them on the road. That's what I'll do. So, just something... I don't know. I don't know what I want. But I like cool designs. You know, something. Here's my theory on shirts. Too many comics have a shirt that says like, oh, here's a joke that I do, which does two things wrong. It fucking makes you have to do that joke, which is now you are censoring your art for the sake of money. It makes you have to do that or you won't sell shirts. And it also makes you not ever give that shirt away. Also, it's cheesy. It's cheesy to have a fucking... You can't wear that shirt months later. You just won't be able to. It's cheese dickish. It's not cool. But a cool design, a cool tour shirt. I wore my fucking Nirvana Bleach shirt on stage last night in Calgary. Why not? It's a cool shirt. A cool shirt you can wear forever. So what's a cool design where almost people are like, oh, what is that? Oh, it's the Flaming Lips. They're a band. Oh, wow. Cool. Thanks. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's an Ari Shaffir shirt. He's a comedian. Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll have to get into it. That's what I want. Nothing affliction-like. Anyway, all right, you guys. Thanks for listening. All right, let's start. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. So anyways, here's what I brought. My friend Dave Smith, he's a libertarian, and he does a kind of comedy that I have rarely seen in political comedy. I'm really impressed with the kind of stand-up he does. He's when I saw this when I was working out, when I was doing it, going to the stand, when they just opened, and I was doing the New York Comedy Festival. By the way, we're going to be doing a show at the New York Comedy Festival at Santos Party House. This is not happening storyteller show. I haven't booked it at all yet, but it'll just be, you know, I don't know what the topic will be, but it'll be cool. Comedy Central is putting that on for us. And thanks Comedy Central Digital, by the way, for putting on cool fucking, those This Is Not Happening stories, the ones we're doing again, that's a cool project for them. They're not making any money. They're just putting up a lot of money to make a cool project. So fucking kudos to Comedy Central for coming around. What was I just saying? Oh, so I was in New York for the New York Comedy Festival last year, and I was doing The Stand, my own shows, and It was when I was in – back working out for my special, doing like I came out a week early for my special tape at the Knitting Factory, which, by the way, that's how you can support me too. All the material I'm doing now, it's different material than on my special. I'm not repeating any of it. So get this. It's $4.99 on chill.com right now. Go to my website. There's a banner right on the top. That's what I worked a year for, so that you could give me $5 to see what the 72 minutes of the proudest comedy I have. I'm prouder of that than I'm just happy with it. I'm just really happy with it. It's just good. Thank you to Louis C.K. for having that talk with me in Montreal a few years ago and making me say, fuck it, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do an hour in a year. I am so goddamn happy with the way it came out and the fucking cool shit that came out of me. But anyway, I was in New York doing spots at The Stand. I saw this guy, Dave Smith, who was a newer comic. He's probably doing comedy 7-8 years at the time. And he was doing this political comedy. When I see it, all it is they're throwing facts at you. They're throwing names at you. Then you're like, oh, I've never heard of that. And then they're saying, see, isn't that crazy? Like my intro. Like the beginning of this intro was like that. And it's not funny. It's just not funny. But Dave Smith, and you lose your job. You have lost your job of making people laugh. Any artist, this is my theory. It's the job of an artist to entertain while getting your point across. That's what being an artist is. That's what being a writer is. That's what being a film director is. That's what being a painter is. That's what being a comic is. The art of that. There's also Fast and Furious, where maybe you're, I don't know, I haven't studied it, but maybe you're not trying to say anything. You're just entertaining. And that's possible too. But Nirvana spoke of an experience. They were artists and they made great music that you get like, oh, this is fucking awesome. And then like 3 years later, you start listening to the lyrics and you're realizing what, you're like, oh, you guys were saying something. And also you're hearing the sound of like this, the sound itself speaks to experience. It's just like this is what art is. And then maybe that's why I think Pink is an artist too. Pink is fucking great, man. She has cool lyrics and catchy tunes. I know she's not supposed to be cool, but I'm into what she does. It might not even be my genre of music. But as long as you're doing something artistic, I might not like the entertainment. I might not be, but it's your entertainment. Like my comedy, it's not going to be for everyone. You might not be entertained by that, but I'm entertaining you. That's the act of what I'm doing. So Pulp Fiction is one of the greatest movies ever made because it's so fucking entertaining and it's so rich in layers. You can never stop finding out new information in Pulp Fiction. My friend Ashley, the painter, this is during that time, this is when I started doing stuff like this, when she was telling me, and we have an episode of The Skeptic Tank where we did it, Ashley Maycomber. Ashley Snow Maycomber. She makes beautiful art. And she was doing this whole series of paintings about how people wear masks and about how we don't show our true selves. And when she was expressing it to me, that's what I wanted to express, that's what I wanted to show, about how... And she's doing that by making beautiful looking paintings. And I'm like, oh, that's what an artist is supposed to be. So I sort of use that in my special to be like, this is what I feel is my reaction to a world that tells me I'm supposed to have a family. This is my reaction to it. That's what I was trying to express in funny ways. When I act out a little kid going, like tasting bad food for the first time, and people are laughing, And now we're laughing at this. You are hearing what I want to say about the world. Dave Smith was doing this kind of political comedy that is real art. He was doing this libertarian comedy, giving this version of how we're wasting government money. I forget what it was even, but he was doing it in a way that I was laughing and the crowd was laughing and they didn't have to know ahead of time any details and he wasn't lecturing at you. He was making you laugh while you got this thing in your head of, oh, hey, that's a new thought. That's a new way of thinking. Bill Burr does this all the time. He's pretty much, when you quote what Bill Burr thinks about something, you are pretty much quoting word for word his bits. Because he's so close on stage to how he really thinks, to what he's really saying. He is almost the most. God, that guy's good. Get a Bill Burr special. If you want to get my special, just go buy any Bill Burr special for the last 5 years. And watch a fucking great comic. But Dave Smith was doing that, and it was really impressive. And so I've talked to him a few times about these libertarian views, because he knows kind of more about it than I do. And I want, my feeling is when I hear about these things, I want to go like, yeah, yeah, and just everything I know is already the truth. But then I stop and I actually listen. I'm like, what do you mean? And he told me about the Pentagon Papers, about how this guy just stole, we'll cover it in this topic, but you should look up Wikipedia before you listen to this, the Pentagon Papers, and have it ready on like a tab or something in front of you. I know most of you guys listen to work. That's why we're going into a recession. But have the Pentagon Papers there so you can kind of look at it when we bring it up. There's a video of a general, which I will post on this, on my website, on arishafir.com for this episode. Every week I post a post on arishafir.com or arithegreat.com. And you can leave comments and stuff and go click on forum. The forum shows people talking about each episode. But every week I leave a post, and that shows the music from the episode, and it shows a few details. There's a video that I put on Twitter that I'll put on this. I'll also put a link for the storyteller stuff. And you can see all my dates coming up, too. In town, they're all there. In New York and stuff, or if I'm in L.A., they're all there. And on the road, they're all there, too. Just to click on, you know, up tour. But there's a video of a general, a U.S. general, Wesley Clark, a United States general, this isn't some guy, this is a United States general, telling people in 2007 that he was told by our government that we were going to find any excuse we could to go into 7 different countries and overthrow their governments, either by attack or by supplying arms to rebels or hyping up are propping up a rebel force. And these are the countries we're going to do it in. Iraq, before we went into Iraq. I think we had just gone into Iraq. Excuse me. I think we had just gone into Iraq. He's saying he found this out a year before. But in 2007 is when he gave this speech. This is a United States general, Wesley Clark, saying we were going to find an excuse to overthrow and go in and attack Iraq, Libya, Iran, Syria, and Sudan and Somalia, which I don't really know about. But think of those other 4 or 5 that I said. Iraq, Syria, Iran, Libya. Libya's already been overthrown. The uprising that started after this guy made this video in 2007. I'll post that. Syria, you know what we're trying to do. It's pretty obvious now. Iraq, we already did it. Iran, yeah, we've got a lot of fights with them, right? Oh, they've got nuclear weapons. Maybe they do. I don't know anymore because I don't believe our fucking media is allowed to report real shit anymore. It's only on the internet. That's the only place we can find it. And I fully believe, by the way, what just happened? Oh, no, I'm at 32. I fully believe when this uprising comes, when this armed revolt in this country comes, the government will shut down the internet. They won't have us access to it. I think they would have the power to shut it down. And they saw what happened in other countries. Libya, when they opened it up. Egypt, when they opened it up. We didn't plan on Egypt, by the way. It was fallout. When they opened it up to the internet, shit goes down. People can plan stuff. So they'll lock off our internet. So future military uprisers, plan a different way of communication than the internet. You're going to need it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I talked to my friend Dave Smith, a very funny comic. He's also on the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson, one of the best storytellers in the world. I'm so excited that he's going to do the storyteller show that we're recording. I'm so excited. He's doing the story that that he did for the one we did in New York at the Village Underground. Starting to get more spots at the Comedy Cellar, too, but one a week now. It's pretty good. Want that to go to five a week, but we'll see what happens. Until then, I'm at the stand all the time. But he's on the Legion of Skanks podcast, and he has his own podcast where he talks about this stuff. And his own podcast called Part of the Problem. So check out one of those. And as always, you guys, I love that you guys tweet at my guests and tell them you enjoy the episode. I love promoting comedy. And when those guys feel the response they got, they fucking... I get off on it. I love it. I love when you guys go see my guests on the road somewhere. I love hearing about it. It's just awesome. Then I feel like I'm not bothering anybody to do this, and they want to do it. Sean Patton said that he's gotten more response off that story he did for This Is Not Happening than he got for his half-hour special, than he's gotten set for anything else he's done. So thank you guys for being cool fans, and you will help get more guests here if you give it up for them, because they'll talk. Comics talk to each other and say, yeah, I did Ari Shaffir's podcast. I got fucking $50, and I got a bunch of new Twitter followers and fans. Somebody came to see me at a show, like five people in Madison came to see me. You know, it's like shit like that. Fucking love it. More people will do it. I'll get cooler guests all the time. And you can follow Dave Smith on Twitter at Comic Dave Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Hopefully they won't take this down. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 133. Fuck the Government with Dave Smith. Enjoy. But that is a cool thing about spots here in New York. You just get cash.
Right.
Mitzi used to say...
Where they paying checks at?
Checks, yeah. Into the every 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Every 2 weeks?
Yeah, like every other week is checks day. I think at the store, at least, they had 1 week was for employees, 1 week was for comedians. So when I was doing both, it was like every week I would get a check, which was nice.
Yeah, I guess it's good in the sense of, like, then you might actually, like, pay a bill once in a while.
Oh, yeah. But it's not enough money, unless it's a main room spot where the comics have to split the door.
Right.
With the club. There's no real money to, like...
Unless my rent is $85 a month. Yeah. It's probably not gonna...
I never take it. They're like, you don't need money? You have, like, six checks here. I'm like, for a total of $40.
Right.
No, I don't need multiple trips to the bank that much. Yeah. You know, regular spots are 15. Hosting on open mic is, like, 25.
Wow, man, that's
and
brutal.
And then the door split is like, I mean, like 100 to 200 for those shows.
Well, the thing is, like, hosting open mics here, I think probably don't pay anything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of, like, non-paid stuff out here.
Well, it's open mics plus employees' time plus, like,
are you saying, like, showcases? You're saying, like, the clubs' open mics?
Just the Comedy Stores.
Right, okay.
That's all I know. Yeah, right. Regular open mics don't pay anything.
Right.
There's no money coming in.
Right, of course. All right.
Yeah, but Mitzi, we had a staff meeting once. And Mitzi, the owner, was like talking about everything that used to go on there and stuff when I was doing the website. And she goes, you know, in the old days, we used to give them cash as soon as they do their spot. And they go, the coke dealers would come and they knew they could take their coke, their money and get coke with it. She goes, now they just go home and watch TV.
Yeah, there's no way to convert checks into coke. Like, yeah. I think coke heads are like, a little more resourceful than that.
I could just use the money I already have and then get that money later.
Yeah,
for like, more coke. Yeah, it is nice though. It's like, cool, I have money for something, for pizza or whatever.
Yeah, no, I definitely.
You don't have to stop by the ATM.
I'd rather be getting cash tonight than not.
Yeah. Somebody asked me in at the Melrose Improv because they're changing up like different people buy it all the time. Some new like burger guys that are buying it, and they don't know how to run it. And they ask me, like, how would the comics rather get paid? I'm like, cash. Here. I don't care if it's $7 or $20 or whatever. Just here's your money.
Yeah.
We just want it.
What would anyone dislike about cash?
Yeah,
the convenience.
To get a check sent to you later and having to, what? I talked to some Australian once, some of these guys in the show. They were like,
well, there's your first mistake.
But they were like, why do you guys even have checks anymore? Why is that even a thing in America? And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, like, what's the point? Just like have digital transfers.
I'm completely convinced that if we had like a true free market, like we wouldn't have banks in the way that we know them now.
Well, I think it would be different.
I just don't think for the purposes of the average person, there's no need to have this system set up. I mean, the reason we have it set up is because like the owners of the banks run our government. They all run the Treasury Department. All the laws are written to design around banks. Making people put their money into these banks. That
would
force people in.
Because of before?
What do you mean?
Because of the beautiful lifetimes?
No,
is that what it's called? Wonderful. It's a Wonderful Lifetimes.
Oh, well, look, I mean, I think banks kind of spontaneously did like come into existence because people were like lugging around gold and they needed to store their money somewhere, and the banks would like, you know, store your money and lend out money, and like there was a real service to it. But at this point, it's just like the average person, I mean, like a prepaid credit card can basically do everything that the average person needs to do with a bank account.
It's like, here,
there's
save
just
this money
no
for me.
Yeah, there's no need to be giving your money to all these huge
banks. Where it's like, yeah, my economist friend explained this to me. It used to be like, I have this gold, I can't protect it, so I'm giving this to the bank, and I'm going to pay you the for protecting it for me.
Right.
A small amount, because you guys are super secure. And once they get insured over $100,000 or whatever, now it's super protected, unless America goes bust.
Well, that's where paper money came from, bank notes, where banks would like put a note like, you have this much gold in my bank, so you knew like you have this money at Jim's bank or whatever. Now you don't have to lug around gold. Then they could also, you know, and banks would like, you know, savings and loans is like a genuine like function, you know. Take money from someone, lend it out to entrepreneurs and stuff. But this now, for the average person, with interest rates at like zero, and the average person has a checking account, they're not even getting interest on. Like, there's literally no reason. There's no reason to have
bank accounts. I mean, when I got my first bank account, I remember being like 5% interest.
Yeah, it was
and
a
then
different world.
It was like a child's bank account. Like, you had to maintain like $25 or something.
Yeah.
And then later it was like, no, you get like 1%. I'm like, 1%? Why am I even putting it there? And even CDs went from like 6 to 10% down to like 3.
Yeah, it's crazy,
man. I won't touch my money for 6 months to a year. I can get 3%.
Yeah, interest rates were like, and like in the 70s and 80s, they were like way high. Like that's, I don't know, when are you talking about? Like 90s?
I guess it was just like, no, when I was a kid, it was like, maybe I was 10, like 85.
Oh, 10. 86. Okay, so you're talking young. Okay, 15, yeah. So 80s, that's a high interest rate, man. Yeah, you put your money in a CD, you'd actually make some money.
Yeah, but cool, at the end of the 6 months, you might roll it over, but it's going to be great. Instead of 100, I'll have 107.
Right.
Or something.
But now it's all ridiculous. There's just like no reason to put.
Have they gone right back to where they were, too big to fail, all the banks?
I think they're probably bigger now than they've
even
ever been
bigger,
before.
Because they the ones that dissolved.
They have even higher profits now than they did back then. I mean they like you know those big crashes like the Great Depression, this crash in 2008 or 2007 or whatever. The big banks do great in these. This is when they do their best. They come out of it with way, way more of the market. Especially, I mean, if you look at the Great Depression, by the end of it, there were way, way less small mom and pop banks, if you will, and it was all
because
like
they all went out of business.
Yeah, they all went. Once the market crashes, that's when they buy everything up.
Yeah,
you know.
I talked to the Ontario Improv, and then you get stuff for a bargain.
Yeah,
I talked to the Ontario Improv during like the middle or late of like the serious recession that we were having. We've come out of it to a degree, you know, but. Of the deep parts of it where everyone was worried all the time.
Yeah.
By the way, it never hit comedy.
I mean, people say like the road work and stuff. I don't know.
Unaffected by it.
Yeah, I don't personally.
Shows were a little worse. Definitely worse. Between 2008 and 2010, there were less people at shows.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big, there's like a big, like, I think the real economy has like been getting fucked up for a long time. You know what I mean? So we kind of have felt that slowly over a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Right, these people who actually have money invested lose it all in a day. But for broke people, you know, we're just like out there, like we've been losing our standard of like living for years and years and years. So
they have exactly. The Ontario Improv told me like in 2010, they're like, we can't go through many more months of this, but we'll be closed.
Yeah.
If we have to, like, if it continues as is, like, we're not going to last through 2011. And it, I guess it turned around to a degree, but, like, the mom and pop shops are the ones that can't afford six bad months.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Walmart can be like, all right, we had a losing year, but no big deal.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, and it's weird, like, whenever you look at who benefits from these, like, these crazy boom and bust cycles, it is always like
it's
the
always
big,
the guys
big
look like
businesses.
They're a Monopoly card.
They're always, they always know, yeah, exactly. They always know a little bit better
than
us.
You have
us,
a top hat. You know? You're doing well, and you're already at a top hat. Monocle? That's not a very functional glass mode.
But I'd almost like it better like that. Like, I want my billionaires in a monocle and top hat. Like, I want to be able
so
to recognize them. Yeah, I don't want you coming up in, like, a fucking sweater vest and, like, just dressed like the next alt comic.
Hey, yeah, exactly.
I want to be able to recognize you coming from a while.
Yeah, it feels weird when you see Tom from MySpace. Like, you're just wearing a white t-shirt and you have 500 Tom? Million? Hold on. Hey, text your weed guy or call him.
Do you want him to?
Yeah, maybe he can come before we're even done with this.
Okay. What do you want?
What does he have? You said he's got such great stuff. Put your microphone next to your face instead of
20s and 50s. Oh, his 50s. Address is.
No, don't do that.
I'm just kidding.
50s, I guess. 50s and 8th, or what you what New Yorkers like, call an 8th. Here's just.
No, I think this was like pretty legit.
What they really have is 50 bucks worth. That's what they have.
Yeah.
And what's 20? That's supposed to be a gram, but that ain't a gram.
No, usually it's fucking.
Nobody here weighs shit in front of you, do they?
Like, my buddy does. But that's like he's like a friend of mine does it, but not really in general.
Oh, yeah. In LA, they weigh it right in front of you. And if it's supposed to be 3.35, whatever, they just go to 3.5 and call it a day.
Yeah, well, it's a whole different thing up there. It's like basically legal, so you're not living in this whole crazy, you know, black market.
Yeah, let me put some stuff on the vaporizer. Man, my desk just got messy.
Sorry, dude, I literally can't text. That's all right.
I'm
going to
pause
it
for a second. Oh, you text the guy. Are you writing out a text right now?
Yeah, because I literally just met him once the other day. So
oh,
I
really?
Like, kind of write a text like, hey, what's up?
Does he deliver?
Yeah, I think he'll come over.
Yeah, I want to see how long it would take. Show people what this process is.
Listen, you want to get the whole package of what this guy brings to the table.
Yeah. Tell him I want some sativa. I bet you got that. He doesn't got that.
It was really test this guy. Like, I want a red Gatorade also.
If he's got
you, what do you bring to the table?
Just say if you have it. But does he doesn't? He just has one strain. Everybody here has one strain, right?
Huh? What'd you say? Sorry.
This is why you cannot text and drive for that exact reason.
I mean, Jesus Christ, dude.
What'd you say? I heard there's a study that when you are talking on a phone, even if you have... did you get some dots? Even if you have a headset in,
right?
What's the kind of sight that goes side to side?
Peripheral?
Peripheral vision goes down by 20%. Because your mind like, focuses on what you're talking about.
That makes total sense to me. Peripheral vision, you know, it's like so much about what you're paying attention to.
Yeah,
you know, like
absolutely.
Whether you're paying attention to it or
well,
not.
Well, if you look straight forward, you ever do that test where you look straight forward and people have like hands off to the side? You can like look at you, but you have to concentrate to the left without
it's a weird fucking thing.
Without
right?
moving your hands. Yeah.
I always think it's just like when you're doing that, dude, like the look you're giving the person in front of you is the most hilarious.
Oh, yeah. You're like
look
staring
ever.
Through them.
Look like Eminem on that fucking football thing.
How many bowls can you get out of each of these vaporizer things? These volcanoes.
I don't know. What type of riddles? What type of pothead riddles are you throwing at me?
So where'd you rate them? Read me your text besides names and my address.
Hold on. He said, yeah, I'll be around soon. Hold on.
In the meantime, oh, this is already shredded. What?
Yeah. He said he'll be around soon. I mean, I don't know what that meant. Last time it took like a half hour. So.
Oh, that's okay.
I mean,
we'll still be here.
We'll see what happens.
Did you tell him where I live?
Yeah. Okay.
Little,
I mean, I didn't tell him like.
No, I just thought maybe you said, like, are you available?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I told him where you were and everything.
Okay. Nice. That'll be good.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we can have this.
And it was, real banging stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
See, here's my problem with New York weed.
Like, LA-level stuff. Okay. It was, like, that type of stuff. Like, the medical stuff.
They always call it that. It's medical.
Well, it was, like, that type of, you know what I mean? Like
super great. Super happy fun time. What did he write?
I just, oh, yeah.
What? Is that a girl?
Yeah. No, he just wrote, I wrote 50 Cent when he said how much. Because this is what literally just like the code I always like. 50 like, Cent. This is literally what my dumb, you know,
the way to pop not be dealers arrested.
That I've always, what like, they want to say. And he wrote back 50 PC question mark, which I guess stands for peace. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm not going to give you 50 cents. You're talking about giving you.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I did not mean 50 cents worth of weed.
Okay. He said half to an hour.
Okay. That's fine.
All right, cool.
That's totally fine. Yeah, it'll get here when it gets
We're really taking your listeners through the fucking...
yeah, I want to show them the experience. The that's why I was like, we could do this before. I'm like, let's start.
And I think you may have the only fans that are like cool with going through this experience. Yeah, man.
Well, sometimes I just want to overhear certain situations. That's why I like doing them on the road sometimes. Or not the road, but like out away from a house or apartment. Just because like shit happens where you're just... They feel like you're with somebody.
Yeah.
I was with Kreischer and he wanted to do one in the front of the Comedy Store because he said... He said the one with, is that him? He said, yep. What did he write? I love this. He said the one with Bill Burr we did on the patio was like fun because Bill kept saying all these tourist buses come by because that's a stop on the tour bus.
Right.
And he kept like, do you recognize me? So he wanted to, he's like, something fun happens. And then Paul F. Tompkins walked by while we were doing it and they have a bitter feud.
Who does?
Paul F. Tompkins and Burt Kreischer.
Really?
Yeah. So Bert was like, hey, and he was like, hello. He goes, hey, I'm Bert Kreischer, comedian. He goes, hello, gentlemen, and just walked off.
Really?
Yeah. Gosh. It was weird. God fun, though. He was right. Something did happen. All right, I'm going to pause this for a second for this volcano.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, well, the volcano, I don't know the right temperature for that thing.
Yeah.
I thought 372. I just raised it to 381. It might have been because there wasn't enough in there. We'll have more in a minute. I want to see when this guy comes.
Yeah. You want to see if I'm for real?
Yeah, I want to see if you're real. I don't want to be like flavored by any other high that's already in me. So
okay,
I've got,
fair enough.
With that two hits I got off that volcano, I'll just get buzzed, if anything. So, hey, I was talking to you before about all this stuff. You have a different idea of what can happen in this government. We both sort of share the idea that we've kind of lost control.
Yeah,
of our government.
Sure. Yeah, but I don't know that we ever really had control. I think like they've always had control, but they've lost control.
Who's they?
Like the people who run this whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I think have you know.
What do you mean? What?
I think it's getting away from them. What happens? Like I think throughout history, what ends up happening if you look at like the big empires that kind of collapse the way we're collapsing.
Yeah,
it's like they start off with like a maximum amount of freedom. They start off as these republics that are, I'm not saying they're based on freedom, like there's like always Rome. Slavery and shit like that, but like Rome or whoever.
But they
like,
have set up
the most
a system
where there's the maximum amount of, not the maximum amount, but like comparatively to other countries, they have a lot more freedom.
And right, freedom
creates a lot of wealth.
They don't have the concept of not having slaves, so it's like, we're going to have slaves,
but it's like, look, America was
citizens.
Groundbreaking because they gave freedom to white male landowners.
White male landowner?
Pretty much. I mean, and not anyone, but again, a lot more than anywhere else in the world was having. Everything's kind of relative. But freedom is what really creates wealth at the end of the day. People argue about this, but that's really the truth. Like,
what do you mean? Say that, because you said it before.
Freedom kind of creates wealth. This is like kind of what Adam Smith really broke down. People always think like Adam Smith was like a capitalist.
Don't know who Adam Smith was.
All right, fine. That's a good point.
Here's what I try to do with you guys, with you political people. You end up, you know things at a certain point, and then you just like glance over it because you're getting a discussion with like other people who really know stuff about it. And then for the people who don't know about it, it's just going over their head like fucking, like Jeff Dunham's jalapeno pepper.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's a tough thing. You completely lose perspective of what it is to not, you know, so no, you're right. All right, so Adam Smith wrote Wealth of Nations. He kind of, they call him like the godfather of capitalism or whatever.
Yeah, he was an economist.
Yeah, he was kind of like one of the first like great economists. And he basically writing about how wealth gets created. And just the idea of voluntary interactions with property rights. So where you have, you know, once you get out of the world where like you know, if you're in the jungle and someone can just come take your shit from you, you're not going to build a business. There's no point in building wealth because someone will just come take your wealth from you.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, but once you, you know, you have a certain system where it's like,
properties.
Yeah, you have your property. You can set up a business and legitimately exchange freely.
So in that system, then.
When it's voluntary exchange, you have the most wealth built. Because, like, when you have, if there's force being used, if you, like, if you have a gun. And you mug me.
Okay.
Like, that's a zero sum transaction, right? Like, I lose a wallet, you gain a wallet.
Right.
Like, I lose, you win.
But normally, it's like...
When you go into a grocery store and you buy milk, that's a win-win transaction because it's voluntary. At the end of it, you say thank you and she says thank you.
You're both happy.
You wanted the milk more than you wanted the dollar and she wanted the dollar more than she wants the milk. So you both think you can better utilize that. So when you have voluntarism... Everything, every trade is maximized with this amount
of
efficiency.
You have three running backs on your fantasy team.
Yes, exactly.
And only two slots, but you have one good wide receiver. So get rid of one of those running backs. Get another wide receiver.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
But, you know, like a trade. But a trade in football, like a fantasy football team is a good example. Someone's, both guys are expecting to benefit off of this trade if they make the trade. No one's forced to make. If you could force other teams to make a trade, you would just make trades where they know they're going
to
lose.
So and also it comes to a place of like, hey, I might discount this milk because it's going to go bad in a day, so let me sell this for less, and I might lose money overall, but I'm gaining more money than I would have if I just let it go bad.
Right, exactly. So anyway, the point I'm making in the other thing is, so you have these countries that have a certain amount of freedom. America, if you look at like the period from like say like the Civil War to World War I, is a period where we're like about as free market as anyone's ever been.
It's
now again,
country.
It's not, there's a lot of flaws within that. Obviously there's tons of like, I mean, freedom is being denied to pretty much everyone who's not white or male. I mean, you know, into state laws and Jim Crow laws.
The problems?
We overturn these laws eventually. But so there's all these,
right.
In this period, you have, I mean, like when you talk about like laissez-faire capitalism, like you have no income tax. You know, if you try to picture a world where there's no income tax.
There was no income tax before.
No income tax
till World War
I. 1913.
Okay.
So it's about 5 years before World War I.
No income tax. So you can make $100.
1914, maybe? I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
Up until 1914, there's no such thing. The idea of an income tax is completely foreign. There's no such thing as an income tax. There's no central bank. There's no occupational licenses.
What does that mean? What's that mean? Occupational licenses.
Well, like if you want to be a plumber, just go plum.
Oh, right.
If you want to be a carpenter, go be a carpenter.
It.
Like it's just like go. I don't think plum is a term, but you know what I mean. You just do what you want to do. It's just kind of a free market, and this creates as it always does this tremendous amount of wealth. You end up building the infrastructure for what becomes the wealthiest country ever. Once you get that, you start generating this wealth on like a level that's so crazy. Then it's very easy for the government, the parasitical class, to like grow.
When was the stock market crash? The first one.
Like well, 20? Okay, so very well. The Great Depression you're talking about was in 29, but
so
in
after
20,
all this,
well, in 1920 we had the first big crash. But this is what happened. So before Jesus Christ, I'm really a nerd. I know too much about all this shit. But before that period, there was never even an idea. There was no central bank before 1913, 1914. There was no income tax. There was never an idea when there was
What's a
recession. The central bank is like the Federal Reserve, the bank that prints all the money.
Oh, right.
That basically is the monopoly on currency and banking.
Like,
it just steals the wealth from everybody.
Well, that's a separate issue.
Sure. But before that period, like in the, you know, the First World War period going into the 20s, we never intervened in the economy, the government.
So you didn't need a license to be a teacher, to be anything?
No, whatever you wanted to be. I mean, there was the government's always been somewhat involved in schools, like state. It was more on a state level, though.
You didn't need a license to be a doctor?
Nope. There were all types of like state rules, but it wasn't any
type of
like.
There was no way to tell if someone was like accredited.
There was different types of, there were different types of like private groups probably that would license people in different ways. Yeah.
There's a bar exam.
I don't know. I don't know what was going on with lawyers. Like, now look, to some degree, those things might have still been, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there was, like, things like lawyers, there's always going to be some amount of regulation because that's inherently like kind of a state function. You're at courts and stuff like that. But I'm saying for the average person doing a job, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to be a bus driver. The government didn't have to give you permission to go drive buses for some company. You could go just do what you wanted to do.
But now you do have to.
Running a business was, you'd come over, if someone knew how to be a carpenter, they'd come over from Italy, come here and start being a carpenter. And they'd hire a few people. And if you had some money left over at the end of the day, it was a successful business.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were doing books and hiring accountants and putting away money for the IRS and buying licenses and getting these rights. And then someone from the government would come in and shut down your business.
Yeah, but if you had a big surplus, you could say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get a commercial today. that'll sure. help my business. Yeah, yeah, sure. It's up to you.
Well, I mean, this is before TV. I think.
Yeah, but whatever, an ad. I don't know. I'll call a town crier to say,
sure,
hey,
sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, like radio and shit like that. Yeah, sure. But anyway, the what happens ultimately, I think, is so all this wealth starts getting created by the freedom, and then the government realizes they can get more. They're like, hey, we could institute.
How? Wait, okay.
So when the income tax first came out.
Hold on. Let's back up a second. How is wealth generated by this freedom?
Well, kind of like what I was saying before, like the voluntary interactions kind of maximize profit. Everyone's,
Because they're completely free to do it.
Because you're free to do it, and everybody's also free to pursue their own interests. Like, you're free to pursue the wealth you want to pursue. You don't have to do it in a way. Look, people are still greedy in communism, but when you're greedy in communism, the only way to get wealth is to, like, go to the all-powerful government and steal it at the point of a gun from some. So when you want to create wealth in the free market because of the voluntary nature of it, it's just the maximum amount of, like, productivity.
Right.
So that's like the idea.
Oh, right. Because you can make as much as you're able to, so you would work harder.
What are you going
to
do if you live
That's what they said with the problem of communism, and it's not true, but they said, like, what's the incentive to work hard if you get paid the same regardless?
Sure. That's one of the many problems of communism.
But I did live on a kibbutz for a while, and people somehow...
It's different, though. That's voluntary. You know what I mean? Like, if there's voluntarism in there, it's not... I have no problem with collectivism of any sort, as long as it's voluntary. You know what I mean? As long as you choose to be that. The problem with communism is they force everyone to be on that fucking kibbutz.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's the...
Right.
And there is a, you know, I mean, there's a million different problems with communism. I mean, the biggest problem to me with anything like that, with any type of communism or socialism, it's you can't, I think we were saying this the other day when we were talking, you can't be for freedom unless you're for property. I don't care what anybody tells you. There's no way to make those things jive. If you don't believe in private property, you can't be for freedom. How are you going to tell me? Socialism is still defined as the government owning the means of production.
All I can think of is...
How are you going to tell me you have free speech, but the government owns all the newspaper printing presses? You have free speech, but you can't own a town hall to have a conversation at. I mean, there's no way
What did they say? The government will be in charge of making sure that everyone has equal access
to it? Well, it's like the idea is always like, well, the people own all of this stuff. But the people will be represented by who knows
a few dudes.
Who knows? Yeah. So, right. It always ends up being the fucking...
It's really not... When they want to compare it to a town hall meeting or whatever, it's really not like, well, let's hear from everybody. What do you have to say? When you're talking about millions and millions and millions of people, there's no... You just elect representatives to, like, kind of take care of you.
Yeah, but anytime you use, like, a personal level, it's still fine because you still have to, like, be voluntary. It's, like, fine. You can have a town hall meeting, but if everyone in the town hall decides the move is to take all of this one guy's shit, like, that's not okay. You still can't fucking do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just still... So it's all about, you know... But as these things start, But just the point I was making more or less is like, so when they first passed the income tax here, they passes this thing where they go, the justification was like, it'll only be like 1 or 2% and it'll only apply to rich people. This is how they got it passed. This is what the justification goes. It'll never affect the common man. It'll just be 1 or 2. And you're in this real wealthy world. All this wealth is being created. You have rich people. That's one of the characteristics of freedom too. You get these fucking rich people because badass motherfuckers are allowed to become badass motherfuckers.
I heard Obama say in a speech once before I lost complete faith with him in him, but I heard him say in some radio thing once, maybe a State of the Union, I don't know, I'm not that political, but he was talking about the recession and how we just want to build like individual wealth, and he's like, look at Steve Jobs. He goes, he's been responsible for 2 or 3 of the greatest innovations of the last like 25 years. And he goes, he should be rewarded for that.
Right.
He should live in a really nice house because of that. Like, if you're like contributing and doing things, yeah, absolutely, you should become super wealthy. That should be allowed.
Right. Well, I completely agree with that.
That's how free market works. Like,
yeah,
you
and
have
that's
the possibility
that's part
to become
of it.
Wealthy.
But the idea is that, look, if it's within a free market, I challenge anyone, show me the example. If it's within a free market and you're becoming wealthy, it's helping people. It's not hurting people. Like, creating wealth, all it means is that people wanted what you were bringing to the table.
Well, the people shit on Starbucks, but they're like, you mean the place that everybody goes? That's why it's successful?
Dude, what drives me crazy, man, is when these liberals who just can't ever challenge the government, they always have to make it about capitalism or corporations. You know, the second you go...
Slow down. You get so excited.
So you go... they go, you know, whatever it is about anytime something, you know, the TSA is spying on us.
Okay.
The classic MSNBC liberal response, well, Google's spying on us too. You're like, okay, Google's spying on us too. But you don't have to have an account with Google. You don't have to search Google. Right. It's just like, why?
It's not government sanctioned.
Let's say there were two corporations.
Well, they say it's like it's a bouncer. Like the bouncer can do whatever he wants to. He's like, yes, but we haven't given him the government's backing to say, yes, you do whatever you want to somebody.
Look, I'm concerned with corporate power and corporate spying on us. I don't like that stuff either.
Yeah.
But the idea that liberals even like compare the threat level of corporations
to the government. You think that's the liberals who say that? Who say like the NSA is fine?
Well, no, it's not that they say the NSA is fine, but it's, I'm just saying it's always like the view, it's all the view that like it's that the free market is worse than what the government gives you. And I think that's crazy. The idea of if there were like two corporations, this is what I always say, I try to say on my podcast a lot, like it, to like the idea for liberals who are so scared of corporations. It's like if let's say the government, just call them a corporation. Let's say there were two corporations, right? Like you're worried about Google or Walmart or whatever it is. Like Walmart, I mean, I don't know what the number is, but Walmart, if you looked at like what do they make in a year or what do they spend in a year, probably a few billion bucks if I had to guess by Walmart spends.
Probably.
I don't know. A few billion dollars. So let's say then there's another corporation called USA. They spend $3.5 trillion every year.
Yeah.
Because Corporation USA has an army, a navy, an air force, drones, arresting power, courts, judges. Walmart has none of that. If you want to not go to Walmart, Walmart does nothing to you for not going to Walmart. You don't have to shop there. If you want to not pay your taxes, they will come throw you in a fucking hole for that. It's like, how are we even comparing these two institutions and acting like they're both equal threats to my freedom?
Right.
Like, come on. What is Walmart's
their problem is, isn't this their problem? Is that those corporations will then buy, like, laws?
Well, no, that's my problem, is that they'll buy laws. I mean, I want to attack the laws.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Their liberals' problem with the corporations is not corporations are big and evil. I guess it's their problem is they're not paying, like, benefits and stuff like that. But also, it's just that they're coming in, like, buying politicians.
Dude, that's the libertarian problem. Look, the inherent difference between libertarianism and liberalism is that libertarians want the government to stop fucking us, and liberals want the government to start helping us. I just think the goal of I think our goal is super almost next to impossible to achieve, the goal of the government stop fucking us.
Yeah.
The idea that the government would start helping us is so beyond possible.
I mean,
it's like trying to get turn the mafia into a human rights activist group rather than
like
just shutting them
down.
You're
looking at the wrong place.
It's just
ridiculous.
That's
how I feel about the TSA, where people are like, well, they could change this and this. I'm like, no, that's a broken system.
It has to go.
That's
completely.
A completely broken system. You have to restart from scratch. I'm not against security at an airport. I mean, since we had planes, people started using a gun to be like, I want to take this to Mexico.
Sure,
but like we need some sort of security. But like this broken system is clearly not doing it.
The most retarded thing ever.
Can't we get another one that doesn't continue to grow like by 20% every year, even though it's not necessary?
Yeah, I mean, like
they're not fucking with us. That's all they really want. Libertarians really just like, just leave me alone, man. Just leave me alone. Just let me go about my day. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, that's what laissez-faire comes from. The term laissez-faire comes from like some French guy. I think the story is like a king was asking some French peasant what he can do for him.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, laissez-faire, leave me alone. Like
that's
what you can do for me. Leave me the fuck alone.
I'm trying to
just
do
let
shit,
me live
bro.
My fucking
Why are you
life.
Touching me? Why are you
what
looking
you gonna,
at my shit?
It just doesn't, you know, it's like this whole... The whole idea, it's like they're clearly, I mean, if you make the case that like the U.S. federal government is a criminal organization, which I think is a pretty, like a fairly easy case to make, that they're like a criminal organization on lots of different fronts.
They do things that are illegal
by
the laws of America. Yeah.
I mean, they help out their, you know, it's the legalized mafia. And it's like, so then why would you want to just send them more money?
Right.
How would that be the solution? And this idea, there's also a lot of like...
I heard this idea that like on NPR one day, some lady called in. She was like, if they didn't have libraries already, if that wasn't a thing that existed, and somebody really cool was like, hey, we should have a library system. Would it ever possibly get passed now that we're going to spend all this money and having free books available for people?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way we would allow that to be a thing starting now.
Right.
Since it's already there, they can cut back to a degree or whatever. But like, our government wouldn't do that. It just doesn't seem like they would be realistic in any way. So, right, to get them to, like, help people, help the homeless, help, you know. But now we do need protections for child labor and things like that.
Well, I mean, I think you need, like, what protections you need is, again, like I said, like, you can't, I'm not an anarchist at all. Yeah. Like, I think,
what
there are
the
some.
Say?
Huh?
What did the podcast say? Anything?
Was oh, no, that else? Wasn't him. That's, okay. He hasn't said anything yet.
Okay.
But he, no, I think, like, what Thomas Paine said, that at its best.
I remember
best,
him from high school.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
P-A-Y-N-E,
right?
It's yeah, that dude.
Yeah.
Dude's awesome at dodgeball.
And Paine Webber is a great paint.
he said government at its best is a necessary
Wait,
evil.
Thomas Paine is great at dodgeball? Is what you say?
I don't know.
Yes. That would be great if that was his dodgeball name. I'm Thomas Paine.
That's a really funny, just like a wrestling character or something. Or just like,
you know, when you think about all those guys, yeah. When they were younger, they probably were those like fuck arounds like anybody.
And oh, he must have been. What a ball.
Like, oh, Tommy Paine's about to play.
Yeah, come on. The dudes who had the balls to be like revolutionaries had to do like kind of crazy people.
Yeah, they probably got into like arm wrestling fights all the time and like talk trash.
Yeah.
But, wood chopping fights, whatever they did back then.
I think government's like a necessary evil to some degree. I think you need it just to stop people. If you believe in freedom, then like the idea of government is to stop people's freedom from being infringed on. So yeah, I would think,
but
like
you have to
working
give up some
a child to make profit off them. Sure. Like I think we all kind of agree that like a child can't consent. You know what I mean? You have to pick some age, even though look, there's gray areas. It's a little arbitrary, but you do have to pick an age at some point where you're like, now you're kind of an adult. Now you can consent. Yeah. There's certain amount. Now at the, also though, I do think what people, if you do like, I'll concede that I think there should be rules against children working. The other thing is that, and this is kind of like a Republican talking point,
yeah,
but it's a very true statement.
Well, hold
is
on. That, ideally you shouldn't worry about what's, who, which group says what, and stick to your own group.
No, no, that's but that, well, that is why I almost disclaim this. Like, I hate to agree with Republican talking points, but this one is right. Where they go, look, capitalism has pulled more people out of poverty than anything else that human beings have come up with yet. Like, if you looked at the world today, the most incredible thing about human beings, if you to me, if
what
you
about
look
the
at
Indians,
from a macro
they were all super wealthy. They were living in buildings.
The Native Americans?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Native Americans actually had some free markets. I was
reading
really?
But they didn't have property, I thought.
No, that's bullshit. People teach us that, but there was all types of property laws in Native American cultures. There were different. You know, they had the same problems everyone had. Yeah, they used to zone off land because they had the same problem everyone had. I was just reading about
what?
This recently.
Other Indians coming by?
No, once you go, if you go, look, this is the commons, everyone can hunt here.
Yeah.
Everyone comes and kills all the animals, and then they're gone. If you go, this is your land to hunt, you go, well, I don't want to kill off all the animals because I want there to be animals here next year.
So let me actually
kind of take it. Once you have personal private property, people take care of it way better than when it's fucking government housing.
In Alaska,
this is like the way it always works.
Me and Rogan went fishing in Alaska, and they had they keep track of how many salmon come upstream and stuff. And so if the numbers are too low, they just say you can't. You have to just catch and release.
Yeah, you have to have some type of system.
Yeah,
like
otherwise
that,
they'll all be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have something like that.
Or they say if commercial fishermen are only allowed this much. And they can break the rules and stuff, but that's all set in too. Like the price of a belt is $20 because the real cost for them to make the profits they need to are about $19. But then with theft, they have to charge more to still make the profit. So like, yeah.
It's interesting.
So they set the laws of like, oh, it's catch and release. Like, well, still some people are going to, yes, there's going to be a couple. That's why we set a catch and release a day or two longer than we have to.
Wow.
You know, something like that. But, okay, so there's some laws.
Right, hold on. Right, what
were
we saying?
We're talking about the Republican talking points.
Right, oh, right. No, I'm just
will
making
take care
the
of
point
their own
that,
property
so
a lot
my
better.
Point is just that if you go what I feel... look, I'm for the idea of child labor laws, but I feel like what people think too often when they hear that is they go, oh, thank God for the child labor laws. That's why there's not children working. In fact, the truth is the reason there's not children working is because we've created enough wealth that children don't need to work. Like, if you went back to the year 1600 and said, I'm going to institute child labor laws, people would just starve. That's all that would happen. You go, children are working on the farm as soon as they're able-bodied because... that's what we need to do to survive.
That's why
it
you were having
until,
kids. That's it, why you were having
right,
children
exactly.
to work on
it
the
wasn't,
farm.
That's why men, what, boys were more valuable than girls for a long time. It wasn't until we created, through free markets, enough wealth that we could even step back and go, wait a minute. We back in the year 1600, they couldn't have even conceived of a world where children didn't have to work. You know what I mean? So it's I'm just saying I'm for children not working, but the credit goes to free markets. Yeah,
but the year before they had child labor laws.
Sure. No. Children I'm were sure still working the government
in an unnecessary environment.
Absolutely. I'll concede that. The government cleaned up the last 1% of it.
Okay.
Sure.
So it's like it stops when it's no longer necessary.
No, look, I think that is a very good point.
But I was also hearing you need government for things like this. Where I was hearing this thing on like craft and like ready made foods, TV dinners and stuff like that. Where it's like once these other companies came in and started, it wasn't craft, it was whatever Stouffer's, whatever it was. Once these other companies came in and said, well, okay, this is how much your profit margin is to compete with you. Let's just throw a bunch of salt and sugar in this and put less good products in. And now we can sell it for the same amount but increase profits, then the first company has to be like, fuck, oh, if you're selling it for less, now we have to sell it for less. And so we have to like use more sodium and just shitty products, shitty ingredients. Sure. And then eventually it's like, well, we have no choice but to do this because the market, humans will eat themselves, like dogs will just eat themselves till they're dead. So right. No one would have any incentive. So we have to come in and say, no, you can't have dangerous stuff in your foods.
I mean, look, I think a lot of the reason why, like the corporatization of food is not, you know, removed from government. Like these big corporations that all run our food lobby our government for billions of dollars
every
year.
That's what I mean. Where corporations will come and like...
Look, dude, again, I just think like...
We'll pay for the right to like, hey, we want to put dangerous stuff in there. So how much do we have to pay the... Either it's we have to pay for real green beans... Look, or we have to pay the government. Like, that'll cost us 20 cents a package. Buying the government costs us 8 cents a package.
I get it. I actually think through... I think we are in a good... Going in a good trajectory now. I think we're going from like... From the whole obesity trajectory, and there is kind of this counter movement toward like organic food and healthier and like more knowledge about that.
But you're
stuff.
Saying it's not from the government.
I think that's good.
Free market,
dude. You can't. And I hate. It's just like I know this almost sounds like a paranoid thing, but you can't allow the government to have this power.
Which power?
This power that you're saying to regulate what people are allowed to put into their body, what products people are allowed to sell to people. It's for the same concept that you don't want them to be able to make weed illegal, make anything like that. Free people can decide what they want to put in their body. Even if you want to put corporate crap in your body, dude, go look.
But what if you're not aware? I mean, when you see a package that shows a nice home-cooked thing of lasagna, and you're like, well, this is good for me.
So then, okay, so you're not aware. The idea of like, they
what
you know,
chemicals are in stuff? It just like,
sure.
This looks right.
So the idea of someone should be testing what chemicals are in this or someone should know what's in this. Sure, I'm not against that, but the government's going to do it in the least efficient manner. And you don't want to give them the power to shut people down for what's in their stuff anyway. So what you do is, if you left that to the free market, you'd create a system where some companies would allow independent companies to test their food and tell you what the ingredients are, and some wouldn't. If some of them wanted to be shady, then you'd know going in,
like
this company is shady.
Papa John's has this thing. Yeah,
but that's
ingredients, better food. And it's like, can you get the ingredients? And they're like, no, we won't. We
but
don't
you
show
get
that.
To know that, and then it's your choice to eat Papa John's or not. I don't know. I'm fine with that. I don't believe in anything where the government is like kind of the grown-up taking care of the kid.
Yeah,
like,
but
I don't
then what
like
about
that.
Like putting asbestos in buildings and stuff? And it's like, this is the thing.
Yeah, but that's, again, that's aggression now. That is a role for government. Yeah. That is a role for government. Obviously, that's negligence. Like, not even negligence, like criminal negligence. It's like that's like, I can't...
Oh, right. You can't
do something that's going to harm someone else's freedom.
You can't put kerosene inside your food.
Sure, right. Like, it's the same idea like yelling fire in a theater. I can't do something that's going to set you up to fucking, you know, die. That's a problem.
And you don't think super high fatty foods and are killing people to the point that the government should have to step in?
Sure. No, I just don't. I mean, I don't know. Look, man, again, like, that's the type of thing where if you knew there's lead in the paint and you go into it kind of with your eyes open, then I don't think that's criminal.
But when it's, when
I mean,
you see,
if
you
it's,
don't know.
If you're, yes, if someone's like lying to you, I mean, look, sure, I think there's a case for if McDonald's advertised that there's no trans fat in their food and then that killed you. Do you have a lawsuit against McDonald's? Sure, absolutely.
Find out about trans fats and things like that. It's like they're just not putting it on packages one way or the other. So you have no way of knowing. It's not somebody making a moonshine.
If it makes sense, though,
it's a company marketing moonshine.
I'm okay with the transparency of non-transparency in that sense. So it's like if some companies will be honest about what their ingredients are and then some won't, you're like, okay, well, that's your choice.
That's
go to the
people,
ones that
that's
are
why
honest
people
about
will go
it.
To Whole Foods.
Sure.
They're like, I can get this grape at a bodega, but I don't know what chemicals are on there.
Yeah,
so
dude,
I'll pay
look,
more
when
for
they,
it.
When they passed that ban on smoking in bars, like I was smoking at the time and I hated it just out of personal, you know, like almost like a thing where you're like, ah, fuck, now I have to go outside.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah,
it's winter.
Sure. Especially in
now
New
York. I quit smoking. I'll be like, look, it's pretty nice to not have smoky bars.
To not have
like
your
it benefits me.
Thinking.
Yeah, it benefits me. But at the end of the day, you go, dude, is it really fair that they can't have one?
Who can't have one?
Smokers. They can't have one bar. If I all think, the smokers in the world, right. Can we just have one bar where I can smoke inside and I don't
but
have
to But then they
would
inside. All be smoking bars. Us.
But, well, look, but it is almost like a thing, like, why shouldn't people get to choose?
I think, their reason was for this. It's for the wait staff.
Yeah, I know, but you can choose where you work also. I mean, it's like, look, dude, people have the freedom to do what they want to do. You know smoking's
bad.
Yeah,
but when they were all smoking bars, we're like, okay, we're doing something that we all pretty much know is dangerous now, and subjecting these people who are working, like, there's really no place you can work that didn't have smoking.
So if your reaction to that is, I'm going to go start my own bar and not allow smoking in that, that's fine.
Oh,
if your
right.
reaction to that is, I'm going to go get someone with a gun to make you make your bar non-smoking, I have a problem with that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
go do it yourself. I have no problem with your freedom to go choose a different path. But don't take away someone else's freedom to do what they want to do.
And that's what libertarian is all about.
Yeah, to
leave
me that's
alone.
Libertarianism. Yeah.
Right.
You're free. So, don't fucking violate anyone's freedom. It's just, it's the basic principle that everybody lives by every sense of the day. But for
but
some
what happens
reason,
when those come in contact? Like the waitress's idea, like, well, I want to be able to be a waitress but not to breathe smoke all day long.
Well,
or safe work environment. Like, we'll say, well, if you have slippery floors all the time or electrical hazards all over,
sure.
like, well, don't work at a place like that. But like, yeah, or they just have to have rules where they can't have that.
Well, look, man, I mean, there's definitely a,
like that.
Yeah, there's a gray area there for sure. But I mean, there's also like when you have more pure free markets, I mean, you also have a thing where it's like people get to kind of like maybe work in a factory that is a little bit more run down, but they pay better or something like that. And you can kind of make the choices yourself. Again, where the gray area comes in, and again, I don't think libertarianism in any way says there's no such thing as a gray area, or there's no place where you're like, look, if someone, I believe if someone trespasses on your property, I do think you have the right to kind of like shoot that. Like if you have a gun and someone breaks into your apartment, I think you have the right to shoot them. I don't think you need to wait to see if they're being violent or not. You know what I'm saying? Like I kind of think like you're like, I'm already threatened enough.
And the right doesn't mean,
I can shoot them.
The right doesn't mean.
You're being defensive in my idea. It's you're not.
But the right doesn't mean you have to shoot them. It means,
no,
like, hey,
but
if
I'm
it comes
saying
to
could.
That.
Exactly my point. Now, that being said, if someone walks by your window, slips, stumbles in, falls in your window, and you shoot that guy in the head, you got to go to jail for murder.
Like,
you know what
on.
I mean? There are gray areas in the world where even so a law. So I don't know at what point that factory, the electrical circuit being open, that starts a fire, you go, well, no, dude, that's over the line where you let people die because these conditions are so bad. But then there's also a point where you go like, look, we don't have AC at our factory, but we pay $15 an hour. They have AC. They only pay $13 an hour. You choose. I'm for as much choice as possible.
Yeah, I think this is what ends up happening. Like almost always is that it's $15 $13 with no air conditioning, $15 with. And then all of a sudden the people with air conditioning are like, hey, you know, we can save this much money if we just stop putting air conditioning in there. And so they just stop.
But if
and now
people,
you're at 13 with no air conditioning, and then no one has air conditioning because they're like, why do we have to give these fucking workers anything?
No, but market forces get driven in both directions. I think that's like the idea that prices would just go down and down and down. It's like, I don't know, why isn't milk $1 million? You know what I mean? Why aren't like, it's like, you know, all the store owners want the prices to be up and up and higher and higher and higher. But eventually, no, like, I mean, the people you
will
hit
choose
a point,
what they want.
Yeah, you hit a point where once you, what happens is in general.
And so what you would markets, have like a consumer watch groups on their own saying, hey, just so you know, milk that's pasteurized can lead to this, this, and this, and this. And
sure.
So then people
what
like,
you
well,
want to do is
buy.
Have as much education, I think, as possible. I think that's right. Like the idea to me is you want to have like an as informed a public as possible, and that, you know, I mean, that seems kind of like a difficult goal to reach, but you know, I think, you want to educate people and then let them make their choices.
But like if there's a tomato problem, there was, and people, all the salsas were fucking contaminated by these tomato that had, I don't know, Ebola. I don't know what the fuck it's got, but, people wouldn't recall their own. They're like, well, we already bought this. We're going to serve
no,
it.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
You
I
think
mean,
people
I think,
would throw out their stock
dude,
of
there's
something?
Dude, there's a lot of market pressure. I think the market pressure is actually far greater than the government pressure about stuff like that. Dude, when that Toyota guy came out and he's fucking crying, that has nothing to do with the government making him do that. It is really, really
he's
bad
like people,
for Toyota when Toyota has to recall a bunch of fucking cars.
Right.
This is really bad. For everybody who's debating on getting a Toyota or some other car next year, this just pushed them in the other direction. Like, you know, companies, the idea that there's no, you know, with John Stossel, who's like a pretty like big libertarian guy. He was a liberal who got converted to libertarian, like me. And one of the things he was like an activist reporter, like a consumer reporter, who would go around and like find scams, like local mechanics or something. Like you go in with a car, there's nothing wrong, and they charge you a bunch of money and stuff. And then he got this national job at ABC, and he said he started looking for national scams like that. And he goes, you know, you just don't find it. He goes, the car mechanic that's ripping people off doesn't get to be a big national chain. The big national chains don't rip people off. It'd be it's much less worth it for them to rip you off for $100 than to get all these bad reviews.
Well, what happens to individuals? Did you see the video of the guy at Golden Corral?
No, what was that?
Okay, this is a guy at Golden Corral, and he's just filming himself on an iPhone or something, or an Android if he's an idiot, but whatever it was, didn't show what kind of phone he had.
Phone snob.
I love just attacking people's phones. By the way, I think I'm done with iPhones.
Yeah,
and here's the reason why, because you know that thing they use in all the phones. That's it's like it's not a fucking blood diamond, but it's from the Congo.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the cheapest place they can get it. And they need it to make cell phones.
It's not lithium.
It's not lithium. It's something like that. Right? And you can get it from other places, but it's way more expensive.
Yeah.
And so Apple gets it from the Congo, and they have children that are fucking drafted into the army at like 7-8 years old to protect these mines.
Brutal, yeah.
And they're making them work there too. It's just like horrible. And you're like, well, the excuse is like, well, you got to turn a profit. If you're not turning a profit, then you can't even exist as a company. So as bad as that is, what can you do? But then you realize Apple is the most profitable.
Yeah.
So at some point you're like, you can be not the most profitable and still make a profit and not use children fucking soldiers.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's just to
At that point, it's like, all right, yeah, I'm holding you to higher standard because you're the most, she'll be the 18th most profitable.
No, I agree. I think it's kind of terrible that, look, I mean, it's a very difficult thing when you have these other countries with just horrible legal systems, like what we do legally about the business you do in some other country, because we have no legal jurisdiction
there,
but you are here. It's kind of a gray area. But yeah, I think you would really wish that there was just more like pressure from people in general to just be like, well, I'm not going to buy a product.
The word has to get out. That's what people have to like say things. And it's your decision. You can still buy it, but it's like now you are supporting.
Just know you are making this
continue.
Sure.
Eating some cow that's already out is not causing more cows to be killed, but going to buy a cow is.
Right.
If you're like a super vegetarian for moral reasons, and it's like, yeah, anytime you buy something, it will lead to more animals being killed.
Right.
Yeah. What were we just saying before that? Libertarian to...
I don't know, man. We're bouncing around a lot.
Yeah, I know. I just got to the iPhone because I wanted to say something else.
Oh, that's right. You were saying to someone taking a picture of something, and then you used Droid as the example. What were they taking a picture of?
Oh, yeah. Golden Corral. Bam. Yeah,
there we go.
Does this hit you at all, the vaporizer thing?
A little bit,
yeah. So he was like, hi, I work Golden Corral, and this is what my company does on inspection day. So it's inspection day. That's what we know from the video. And he goes, here, let's take a walk outside of the dumpsters. And you know how the dumpsters are surrounded by, like, outside of, like, Manhattan, or, like, by these, like fences, you know?
Right.
So you can go in there. And there's all the food, all the beef patties, all the raw bacon. It's just piled up next to the dumpsters outside. Because they weren't putting it away in a good enough way inside.
No.
So like instead of getting some sort of sanctions, let's just take it out of here. And he goes, there's flies around the patty that they're going to serve later.
Yeah, that's
just by the dumpsters. But that's not Golden Corral doing that. That's the manager of that place.
Sure.
I want to increase my profits.
And again, I mean,
he won't make like corporate level.
Right. Yeah, look, man, and I don't even know what... I don't know, again, what the answer
to that problem is. I'll put that video on my website.
I think that's like a gross problem, and I don't even know what the fucking answer to that is. A lot of these things I think are just like almost like, I don't know that like libertarianism or socialism or anything in between has an answer to like stop getting people to do gross shit in fucking restaurants. It's just kind of like one of those things. But yeah,
you would need a government to come and say, okay, there's got to be a punishment for you.
No, I mean,
it's illegal to do that.
Yeah. No, look, I think you need laws, right? So it's like, sure, you do need you need laws against like stuff like that and dishonest. Yeah, you can't do that to people. That's a violation of... It's still a violation of someone's freedom. You know what I mean? Even if I go like if you threaten someone, it's a violation of their freedom, right?
Yeah.
Even if you don't actually have to like do it to them, it's still like a fucking you know, clearly. And there's also like implicit contracts. There's tons of like implicit contracts. So like when you just like walk into a store,
yeah,
there's an implicit agreement where you're like, look, I'm allowed to come into your property. You didn't give me permission. right. to come onto your property. The agreement is I'm allowed to come. I can't take any of your stuff. I can't do this. And by walking in, implicit any adult made that implicit agreement. And it's clearly if you grab their stuff, you can't claim any.
And that's what courts would say. You don't have a right
yes,
to say.
Yes. A store owner couldn't accuse you of trespassing, be like, you were a storefront with your door open.
This is the court's job at this point. Is if, yes. if someone comes into your store and you shoot them and say, hey, they're on my property,
you go,
the court
no.
can go,
right.
we think there's a reasonable
Well, this is why you want a jury. You want a jury for anything. It should always, no matter what the law is, you want a reasonable case-by-case assessment. Yeah. Like I said, the example of like someone falling into your property and you shoot them. You go, okay, but you saw that he had fallen in. You weren't even like scared that he was coming at you. Then, no, right, you need people to judge that case-by-case. But yeah, so, right, I think there is like a... that's kind of like what the role is. You want, you know.
Anytime, though, there's any laws or anything, it's always going to be, like, when you said there's no laws, let's say, then all the strongest people will just, like, mug all the, like.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Then it's just.
Yeah, so we give up certain freedoms in order to have this overall freedom of being able to walk down the street and not getting mugged.
Sure. Yeah, look, it is a balance at the end of the day. Like, freedom, I mean, you can't have ultimate freedom. Like, there's gravity and, you know, like, right. scarcity and shit like that. Like, but, like, right, you can't, the limit on freedom is you don't want to be free to rape or free to stab or anything like that, because that is then taking someone else's freedom away. You want to have the freedom to the point.
Jerking off on the subway, where it's like, why? I feel horny. I want to do this.
Right.
But it's like,
still
yeah.
still taking someone else's freedom.
We all decided.
That's the example. That's, I think, to me, the example of, like, threatening a person. You're psychologically and mentally aggressing against someone. Uh-huh. Even if you're not physically. If I go up with an unloaded gun and fucking hold it at you and say you're going to die, you know, I'm still aggressing against you even on a level. So, yeah, if I'm there with my fucking kid and you start jerking off, like, that's, yeah, you're fucking doing something aggressive. But again, I think there's something so funny, just a bigger picture thing, about whenever libertarianism is like brought up, and I'm happy to defend it, but like it, I always my biggest battle is, number one, to try to be funny throughout all this shit, because whenever I get into this, I'm just not funny. Number two is, it's like I always am having the battle at the at my weakest. It's like I have to have the battle at these extreme hypotheticals of where libertarianism might fail.
Right. Like, what if somebody fell into your window?
It's always this. It's like, what if the nuclear bomb's about to go off and you have information? You know, it's always these crazy hypotheticals, whereas the current system is just indefensible. And I'll still defend libertarianism at its weakest point.
Okay.
The current system is just indefensible. You know, people always want to talk about, but what about the guy who doesn't... It's like...
Yeah, but it's like, hey, what we have now doesn't work.
Well, right, why so can't then, like, I use
the
extremes?
Yeah, there might be mistakes with other...
Right, I never get to debate about the extremes of government, though. You know what I mean? Like, take it to the other side. Like, the debate about my extremes of government would be like, okay, so your safety net system, Social Security, do you know what we do when someone's working and they're 30 and they have terminal cancer? We steal Social Security out of their paycheck for when they're 65.
We
do that to them.
Yeah,
when they know they have 2 months
this.
To live and they're still working. Like, but I never get to debate anyone over there in that space. It's always like the extreme of my philosophy, like, what if freedom fails? We're so concerned with freedom failing, but everything in history is examples of, like, the opposite failing.
Well, they have in Boston. Failing. In Boston, they have this bomb that went off. And then they locked everyone in their homes for 2 days.
Oof. Man, what a police state.
Like, yeah, and they say, and they said, well, we have to catch these guys. And I'm like, well, here's my theory at the time. It's like, why? Do they have more pipe bombs they're looking to set off? Why do you have to shut everyone home, like, not allow them to leave? And it's like, well, look, they caught them. It's like, just because that's the only way they can think to catch someone doesn't mean that's good enough. It means
first off, they didn't catch him. They didn't catch him with that.
Yeah,
they caught him with some guy who broke the fucking rule and snuck out of his hat. So
yeah,
it didn't work.
But I was always like, what about this? What about the guy who was barely making his rent on his store? And now because he wasn't allowed to leave, he had to close his store down.
Right,
so he lost what he was doing. And, he lost his job because of this thing. For 3 days, you couldn't leave anywhere. And he goes, no one notices that. They're just like, hey, we got him. But it's like, you can't do that. You have to think of another way.
I tend to not go to the practical, which maybe isn't a great thing.
How's the government going to stop people if they can't listen to all your conversations? Like, I don't know.
Well, right.
Figure out another way.
But my thing is, like, there's like there are two different, I think, arguments for freedom, right? There's like the practical, which is almost like what you're making, like, well, what about this guy who's going to lose his money from his business? Like, this hurts the economy. This does these things. But I do tend to, which I think doesn't win the argument as much as your point, but I tend to go right to the philosophical, which is like, by what right
do you have to
point a gun at my head and tell me to get back in my home? Which, by the way, there's tons of videos of them doing.
Yeah.
Pointing automatic weapons. All these liberals who want you know, automatic weapons taken away from people, have no problem with these fucking people pointing out, not all
like,
these
wait,
liberals.
But I didn't do anything. I'm just going, but I'm just going to the store.
By what authority?
Yeah.
By what law? What constitution? Where are you claiming this authority to tell me to do that? I've done nothing wrong, committed no crime, I'm under no suspicion. I'm
happens.
In a supposedly free country. So, but my, it's just like, if you were in
slow
slavery
down, slow
times,
down, slow down.
I know, yeah. I really am a maniac. But if you were in slavery times, and you were like arguing against slavery, and you were like, well, you know, it'd be more productive to have cotton picked by machines or something like that. It's like, no, you don't even want to get, it's like, no, the point is, by what right
yeah.
do you have to fucking enslave people? Like, yeah. you want to get like right to the core of what's fucked up about this.
This guy in Boston that I was fucking with, this TSA guy that I was like mad at, because he was like, he searched, they went, my bag went through whatever, and then I was fucking with him. I was being an asshole to him.
Right.
To the guy by you, the weed guy?
No. I was just checking. It's not It's not him.
Well, don't write back.
No, I was just seeing how long it's been.
And so he's like, all right. Well, then he opened up my bag again and went to search through it again. I put my hand on it. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, I'm looking through your bag. I'm like,
good for you,
because
man.
I didn't respect you, right? I'm like, this, like, that's what I felt. I felt like, what gives you the right?
Yeah.
How are you allowed to do this?
It's fucking
insane. And to tell
insane.
Me I can or can't take a flight, which, by the way, courts have already said, like, we don't have the, like, taking a Greyhound bus from California to New York is not reasonable. So we do have the reasonable right to travel, to it's travel so, with the methods that are being used. And people say like, flying is a it's not a right. It's a, what do they call it?
Privilege.
A privilege, no. not a right. Like, so is driving. So is getting a steak. Doesn't mean they can search my pockets when I go to buy a steak.
No, they're all rights. I don't think people understand what rights are. Rights are, you have the right to do anything that doesn't infringe on someone else's rights. That's what rights are. Mm-hmm. It's not like you don't have to explain what your rights are. You explain what your rights aren't, right? Like, I don't have the right to stab you. I have the right to pick up this glass and then put it back down. But I don't need, like, an amendment to the Constitution to say, we have the right to pick up this glass and put it back down.
Yeah.
Anything that doesn't, you know what I mean, like, infringe on someone else's right, I have the right to do. So, no, of course you have the right to travel. You have the right to all these things. It's not a privilege. Government doesn't grant privileges to people. I mean, the whole idea is so creepy. And, no, the government, the idea that the government would ever say, this is a rights-free zone. Like, this is where you come in and you don't have rights anymore. That's fucking crazy.
What's the difference between a government, let's say the TSA, searching someone with no reasonable thought that they've done anything wrong or will do anything wrong? What's the difference between that, the TSA, and someone at Barclays Center searching your stuff before you go in?
Yeah, well, the difference between that is you don't have to go to the fucking Barclays Center. Barclays Center isn't your government. You know what I mean?
Right, like, but it's like they could also say, like, you don't have to fly.
Yeah, but the difference between that is, like, you can go to a million other venues. You can go to million. You know, you have competition. It's like you can start your own venue where they don't fucking search people, right? Like, that's what it's
and
about.
It's not
about
government rules set up.
You can't start your own airline where they don't search people. The TSA comes in.
And if somebody, when I'm going to Barclays Center, and if some guy there starts fondling my balls, just like touching them real creepy, I can sue him.
Yeah.
And I could sue the Barclays Center.
Good luck suing the government.
And so the Barclays Center was like, well, we don't have to pay this money to people suing us.
Exactly.
So let's hire the best people, because otherwise people won't come here. If
Barclays
Center
forces,
gets known, that's market force. If Barclays Center gets known as a place where the guys that work there are real assholes to people, I'm less likely to see a show at Barclays Center than I am to see one at Madison Square Garden.
This is what people don't get, man. The regulation of the market is so much stronger. Go into the DMV and then go into the Apple Store and see how these motherfuckers talk to you. If someone ever talked to me like that at the Apple Store, within the snap of a finger, I'd have his boss here. This guy would be groveling.
At very least, you're like, I'm not using you anymore.
We're so conditioned, dude. The way we treat the government to the way we treat business. You get a fucking sweater and there's one thread off on your sweater that you just paid for. It's like, excuse me.
How
excuse
dare
me.
You?
I demand perfection. Someone goes, I'm sorry, sir. You are king. I am servant. Yeah. I give this to you. The government is shoving their fucking hands down your pants and you're like, oh, well, I guess this is what they got to do to fucking keep us safe. It's fucking crazy.
You know what I started doing when people are being patted down or anything? This is a new one. When people are being patted down or when they're separated, you know, that's just sequestered to the side.
Right.
And usually that's me because I'm fucking with them. But sometimes it's someone else. And we all just sort of like, we have this assumption, like everything will get taken care of by the people that are supposed to take care of things. Like things should work out right. That's how we were raised when we were little. The government, whoever, will take care of things. And I was raised like a long time. And that went to all sorts, every job I have. I'm like, the paycheck will be right.
Right.
And I don't realize it's just some guy doing it. So every once in a while, I'll go to a club and I'll see the check and it'll be, let's say it'll be, $1,000. And I'm like, oh, no, no, this is supposed to be $200 for travel. And they'll go, oh, yeah, you're right. But if I don't say anything, it won't get taken care of. I will just be out $200 because someone just forgot. This idea that they will take care of everything in a giant bureaucracy, there is no guy in charge.
Right. And then there's the whole other thing, which is I always, one of my favorite Rogan quotes ever was that thing. I probably won't get this exactly right, but that thing where he's talking about, like, the idea of, like, when people go for, like, the foreign policy stuff where they go, the argument of, like, look, we don't know what's really going on. You get in there, you see what's really going on. We got to trust them. They have our best interests at heart. And just Rogan goes, I would love to believe you if you weren't all full of shit, which I just thought was, like, a great just way to put it, because that really is, it's like almost like, yeah, I would love to believe you, you're all full of shit. And if you actually look at it closely at all, it's like, it's all full of shit. They don't give a fuck about you at all.
When they just said about the Syria stuff, when now it doesn't look like we're going to go in there, but I think they'll still find a way.
I think you're right.
But when they were saying, like, look, we have information, and they showed Russia and all these other countries, like, we have the information, and Russia's like, and these other countries too, NATO too, was like, this isn't proof that which side did it or that it even really happened.
Right.
Kerry showed pictures to the American people saying we have to go in, showed pictures from a different country from 10 years ago, chemical weapons, knowing what these pictures were.
Yeah.
Still went in there.
It's incredible.
Like, they proved, like, he knows what these are. And it's like, I'm just trying to win support. But when they're like, well, just trust us, we have information, we can't tell you what it is, but trust us, this comes from here. And you're like, wait, we're supposed to trust the same people that only a few years ago, less than 20, said they have weapons of mass destruction, full well lying to us for a reason to go in. They're like, we're now supposed to, you said trust us then.
Well, how much?
We have ways to prove it. We can't show you. But, like, what? Anytime someone's not opening the books, like Major League Baseball, like anybody, like, you're not even showing the books, then, like, something's up.
Yeah.
You're like, well, we can't show the American people because there'd be mass panic. Based on what?
If we knew what you criminals were doing.
If we knew there were even aliens, there would be mass panic?
Yeah, like, what? Look, man, there's, if you want to go down that.
Yeah, or more likely, yeah, you're doing some weird shit so we can't see.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you guys just happen to be making billions off this fucking new. Look, man, you just go down a position where you're like, how far? If you want to believe them, and it's a frustrating argument, that argument.
Even though
there's no way to conclusively prove that argument wrong. You go, well, you're right, I don't have access to classified information.
Right.
And that is an argument for secret government always. You don't know the secret. I'm telling you, you gotta trust me.
That's the same main argument for God. Well,
yeah,
you don't know.
Sure, right, exactly. We can't go. Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's not a good enough proof.
No,
for
I need to go on reason. But the other thing is, then
That's what being a skeptic is all about. Well, give us proof.
Yes. Well, that's right. So the skeptic tank idea, like, you, that's the for God and all that shit, you have to suspend your rationality. You have to suspend the idea of critical thinking, the idea of rationality, and just buy into this. The problem is, you look at, like, look, if you
God is better, because a leap of faith to a God, God stands for a just system. It doesn't stand for the people in the Inquisitions. God doesn't stand for that. That's something people do in the name of God, but that's not God. God stands for freedom, for happiness, and loving your fellow man. That's what God stands for.
Right.
So the leap of faith to God is, at least it goes to a place that is provably, like, he stands for goodness. With leap of faith to the government working out, it's like leap of faith based on, they've consistently not done that.
Right.
So, like, your leap of faith is to go the opposite way of what they've been doing.
Well, I just feel like in either one, you should be, look at the evidence. I mean, look, I always say with the thing with
it's like, if every Bible, the Quran, the Bible, the Torah, they all talked about, like, just kill random people. And then say, I'm going to take a leap of faith to believe in God that he's not going to be that guy. It's like, well, though the evidence shows the opposite.
Right.
But it doesn't show that.
How do you trust them? And how do you, I mean, if you just look at the big picture. So Kerry comes out, and it's like, if you just focus on what he wants to say, it's superficially, it's plausible. He's like, oh, this guy's gassing his own people. Mm-hmm. We are such humanitarians
that we can't let this happen.
But then if you look at the bigger picture, you go, okay, so this is a pretty famous thing. Not famous, but a well-known thing for anyone who pays attention. Good. From what you said before, no one knows about this, actually. But so, like, a few years ago, it was Saudi Arabia. Uh-huh. Which is, you know, our buddies. We prop up their government, do lots of business with them.
We allow them to have
this,
slaves.
This school.
Is that Saudi Arabia?
Huh?
The United Arab Emirates. Who has slaves?
Saudi Arabia, I don't know if they have slaves, but they have basically like indentured servitude, I think, and they have a culture police that to this day chops your hand off if you're caught stealing. Yeah. I mean, they're like brutal, brutal, brutal. So there's a few years ago, this little girl's school burned down, and Saudi culture police guards locked the door and let all the girls burn to death because there weren't enough men to accompany the women outside, and it's against Sharia law for men to come outside without men being accompanied by them. Uh-huh. We prop up that government. So if you're going to go along with this whole philosophy that we're doing this for the greater good, you have to then buy into the fact that we want these little girls to burn to death for the greater good. Like, it just all starts to contradict itself so much. Like, yeah, oh, we're the motherfuckers who are so noble about gassing some kids.
Yeah.
Really? That's what we care about? We send money to other people who gas shit. We send gas to other people who gas kids. We gas kids. It's all such bullshit.
And when you
look
at what we've done, like, I don't know, Afghanistan or Iraq, when you look at the amount of people that I saw some like meme or something where it said pictures like 2,975 people died on 9/11. We have killed over 1 million people in the country where those people were hiding out.
Well, in Iraq, we've killed over 1 million people, which wasn't even the country where they were hiding out.
And you're like, how are we saying that our lives are worth so much more than the possibility of someone else being involved in something than their lives?
Do you understand? Like, do you know what I always say to people? I think people don't even realize how little we are threatened at all in America. Like, how, look at this. We have the most, like, our oceans that fucking separate us. I know people go like, oh, well, what is an ocean? We got planes and shit now. America has the most badass military in the history of the universe by far. Yeah. And we need 130 something countries, bases all over these countries in order to be able to strike anywhere in the world. Oh, like, we can't strike from here anywhere in the world. We are so safe over here. We have two friendly,
there's no Syrian bases in Canada.
There's no problem. Yeah, there's no threat to anything we do from any of these countries. The whole thing is so ridiculous.
Okay, but now you're saying something of like, all right, so it's not just for humanitarian reasons because we do bad stuff there. But I never liked the idea of saying, oh, you do this, but you won't do that. Like, at least you're doing one good thing. Okay. Like, I might give charity, be like, oh, you give charity, but I saw you steal money the other day.
Okay, sure,
like,
sure. No,
it doesn't conclusively prove
that it's wrong. Right. It certainly doesn't prove, but if you're giving some speech like grandstanding about how moral you are and you have to do the right thing to do charity, I can point out that there's like a little inconsistency in your tone. I'm saying. No, it doesn't prove this is wrong. No, but the reason why you don't want to, I mean, the whole idea of a humanitarian war is like,
well, it all goes back to the Holocaust. We can't allow a Holocaust to happen.
Right, but this is all the bullshit.
Not to do anything.
This is what happens because governments control schools and they control propaganda. So this is how World War II somehow uses this example of this really successful American intervention. That is such a perversion of history.
About the Holocaust while they went to war with them?
Well, it's debatable. That, like, it's debatable. Some people say we did know a lot going in. But look, it's not an intervention. They talk like it's an intervention that saved the Jews and stopped genocide from happening again. We didn't save any. We saved like the last 100 out of 7 million or whatever it is. Who died. 6 million. Sorry. We did next to nothing to save anybody. We set up a new world order after World War II, which let Stalin and Mao have power. Both killed way more people than Hitler killed. It was a disaster, the intervention in World War II, which was all created by a disaster of an intervention in World War I, which we ended with this treaty that just shamed Germany into fucking, you know, paying everyone's bills and feel, you know, we set up the stage for World War II, and then with our intervention set up the stage for more genocide. It's so ridiculous, this idea that this was some example of why we have to fight these wars. The idea that our country will go around the world bombing every dictator who kills his people into freedom is completely unachievable. The only practical thing we can do is be like a city on a hill. We're the free ones. We discourage people from trading and doing things with bad actors.
Right. That's the way you can do it too.
Be like us. I'm down to send ships up to the coastline. Any of the refugees can make it to our ships. We'll take you back to America. You know what I mean? I'm down to say anyone who can get here. We're a free country, open borders. I'm down for all that shit. But I don't.
To kill innocents.
We can't drop bombs for liberty. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It's not. There's bombs don't like form protective force fields around good people and kill bad people. And then what we start doing is we start funding the maniacs who are fighting against the genocidal maniacs. They become the next genocidal maniacs. It's this whole bad trend that just never works.
Yeah, we have to fund the other side in order to get...
Yeah. It never works out well. It's all fucking, you know...
Yeah, so what do the libertarians say then? That we need less government?
Yeah, much less government.
Here's my thing. It's like, even if you're senator or whatever, this is my same problem. Charles Bukowski used to write about police.
Right.
And he didn't like them. And the idea came up, like, what about good cops and not all bad cops? In fact, I would say that most of them are good. Mm-hmm. Most of them don't, like, do anything. That guy who put that boot on that homeless guy last year, mm-hmm. in the winter, went out and bought some, like, cheap boots for him and just put them on. I think there's a lot of cops like that.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That just want to help society. But because they remain, this is Bukowski's idea, because they remain in an organization that protects and houses the bad cops, you are bad. That's my same problem with Catholicism. It's like, maybe your Catholic church didn't have anything wrong, but it's sure. like, you're still going to be in the group that the heads of the group keep, like, covering up and making more child rapes happen.
Look, dude, you got to – we talk in terms of groups way too much because, you know what I mean? Like, that's just how we have to think because we're built like that. But, yeah, look, there were good people who were Nazis.
Yeah.
There were good people involved – and I'm not saying cops are on the same level of immorality as Nazis. But, like, there are good people wrapped up in fucked up shit all the time.
Yeah, but it's this. Imagine if your friend did something wrong, like your buddy, and not, like – let's just say it's not murder or rape, and people get real indignant about that. Like, well, I would definitely react this way, and I'm not sure that's true. I'm definitely not sure that's true because I was in Los Angeles when Kobe raped that girl, and I could see how people defended him. So I think if it's your friend,
sure,
I think if it's your friend, thing. I think it's a whole different thing. I think one of the guys, I don't know what I want to say which band, but one of them is like a rapist, and all these hipsters know about it. It's not Death Cab for Cutie, but it's one of those types of bands.
Right.
And all these hipsters know about it, and they're sort of like, eh. And you're like, so it's easy to get indignant when it's not a real thing.
Yeah, yeah, when it's inconvenient. Yeah. Or when it's convenient, it's easy. But
So there are these cops. Like, so if your friend like did something embezzled or something like that, you're like, dude, you got to stop. Maybe you try to help him cover it up, whatever it is. You might not join in with him, but to report him is a whole different story.
Sure.
There are politicians that are crooked, pretty clearly. It's not even up for debate. There's tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that are not going to take money to change a law for somebody are buddies. They go to work every day. They go to barbecues. They hang out with the other people that are doing those things. So it's a whole different step between I'm not going to be involved in this to I'm going to rat on my friend. I'm going to tell on him and get him to stop taking these bribes. It's like – it's just not reasonable for a human to do that to another person they're friends with.
You're right.
Like, what were you saying about Mencia?
Oh yeah, it's a weird when he came into the cellar.
Yeah,
the other night is a weird.
Talk about it.
So that's right. So I'm a.
If you don't know, Mencia is kind of a known guy for stealing
jokes.
And
I'm like auditioning. Uh-huh. Too. Like, I don't work this club.
It's
like
they're just auditioning.
Yeah. I'm doing 6 minutes for Gnome to see me for the first time ever or whatever. So, you know, I'm a little kind of, you know, nervous about that. And this is a club I've wanted to work for years. And, yeah, Mencia comes in, which is weird, by the way, because he's so super thin now and shit. So you almost don't even, like, recognize him. But, you know, I've never met him before. He comes in and he's just, like, such a super nice guy. But it's, like, a very weird feeling.
Because you have these ideas about him.
Well, right. I have an idea. And also, like, I'm friends with you. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, someone I personally know has kind of, like, a thing with him. And you almost do feel like that weird, just, like, dumb monkey tribe thing where you're like, you fuck with my friend. I'm not friends with your friend. You know,
but
like,
then you see him.
But then you see him, and he's just, like, such a nice guy.
It's
he's
a
like,
person.
Oh. Yeah, it's a human being. You realize it's, like, it's not just a famous person. This is real. That's a lesson I learned from comedy, but you can apply it to everything.
Well, that's why the guy on the TV. They're not Americans. So it doesn't feel like a real person.
They're
drones. Strikes kill kids going to school.
Well, I thought the best.
I'm sorry they're not like in Connecticut, but they're children going to school that were murdered.
It's insane, dude. I talked about this on my podcast a bunch, but when when Rand Paul did the drone filibuster, dude, that was so crazy. The way people were laughing at him.
Yeah, this
when
is my
he
thing.
Would set out the scenario. If he goes, he's talking about drones coming to America, and he goes, "Do you want it to be like, you know, someone's at a coffee shop?" and a drone just come in and hits him and kills 12 innocent people and takes him out because they were suspected of being a criminal. And the way people would just laugh at him.
They're like, funny thing in politics today.
The idea.
Rand Paul talked for over 12 hours.
They'd go, this ridiculous Republican living in some fantasy world
where
this
could ever happen. That sounds like libertarian type ideas.
Well, he's a Republican. He's a libertarian.
Yeah, but he just says, I'm Republican.
Yeah. But he's...
Is that the guy?
Hold on 1 second. Yeah.
Don't say his
name. Hello? Hey, what's going on?
Who's that? Your agent?
It's my manager's assistant.
Oh.
I didn't know the number. I thought it might have been this guy. But what was I...
Hold on. I'm almost on it. I've got it like on the tip of my brain. Filibuster with Rand Paul.
Right. Okay. So no, but and he's from the Libertarian. He's infiltrated the Republicans.
Yeah, it's like, I'll just say I'm Republican.
But these people, they laugh at him. And it's all these people who really know the deal. You know, like these politicians, a lot of liberals especially, they're like, they just hate Obama. They create, like, they go, what a ridiculous scenario. Like the idea that this could ever happen.
Wait, but what is the law? Did he sign into law that he could use drone strikes on Americans in America?
It was never a law. It was just about, they were nominating this guy to the CIA who is like really instrumental in the drone strikes. And he just filibustered his nomination because he sent a letter, or someone else sent a letter to Obama asking him to explicitly say, not a law, just to say that he does not have the authority to use drones against an American citizen on American soil.
Yeah.
Because he's using them against American citizens abroad. But they just laugh at him.
He's tried
like, this is a ridiculous idea to them. That, come on, how this could ever happen here? Someone would just drone a cafe full of people, kill innocent people for someone suspected of a crime.
No, but all you have to say
is, we do that all the time. We do it all the fucking time, all around the world.
Oh,
we just don't do it here. But they laugh
because
at
we do like, put a we do put a value that's higher on American lives over other human lives.
Not only a value that's higher, I mean, like, ridiculously higher. Like, you're laughing at the idea of it happening while we're doing it to other people. It's ridiculous that you would do it to
human
beings over here.
You don't think the Okies in West Virginia going like, you know what? Yeah, we can kill them. They're all going to start up.
No, I think that's it. I think it's that
we didn't Waco, didn't we? We're just like, you know what? Just fucking start shooting.
But that's the thing where you realize, dude, like, what's all these countries, all these borders, it's all bullshit. You go, look, what's the difference between someone in Montreal to you and someone in Texas? Are you closer to someone in Texas? Do you give a fuck to someone? Like, it's like, no, someone else drew up some line of what tax farm you belong to.
Yeah.
Fuck that. That's where you realize if they don't give a fuck about – this is what Rand Paul's saying, too. He goes, if they don't give a fuck about the innocent people in that cafe in Afghanistan – do you really think you in New York are any different to someone in Washington than that person in Afghanistan?
I doubt they'll want to kill Americans here, but if they know that there's a guy who's up to something and like, hey, you know what? It's worth a couple lives.
They want it. They don't give a shit any more than they give a shit over there. They've made up lies and sent Americans to go die. They have
And then they
Americans.
Make rules that say you can't show any casket coming home.
Yeah, how fucking crazy. And you know what's scary?
Our media, the newspapers that we set up so that we can make sure everyone's on the record with everything, that we can report anything, is not legally allowed to
They are now. Can you tell what's more terrifying than that?
What?
So it was so weird to me. So Obama got in and undid that law.
They still won't show him?
And they just don't do it now. So he came into that's Obama. Isn't that even scarier than Bush? Bush comes out and goes, there's a law that says you can't watch the corpses coming home. Obama comes out and says, we're going to undo that law because that's not an open society. And then just somehow is able to intimidate everyone into just not doing
it. Just don't do it though.
But don't do it.
I'm going to call you and say, don't do it.
Like, he's going to make him not do it. It's such a creepy thing.
Well, that's what he said about the Snowden thing, that like he showed like all this stuff, like, you know, all the NSA spying. He went to every New York Times. He went to everybody.
Yeah.
And they all were like, no, we're not going to run that story. Not even page two. Because they said it's not good ratings, like you said. But it's like, not page two, not page three.
No, we won't run the story.
We're not going to run it at all. And now that's all anyone could talk about for the last 3 months. They weren't even going to run it at all.
Well, I get in this argument with people all the time, but it's what liberals, I say they always blame the free market. They always go, they always say the problem in media is that they just want ratings. And I always say, I wish that was the, I wish they just wanted ratings. I mean, that would be the best case scenario if we could have a free, look, the government perverts this market. The Eric Snowden thing has been the number one story over the last, until Syria just started happening. It was the number one story for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
And these newspapers turned it down.
Right.
Because they were scared to piss off the government. Yeah. It's not about ratings. It's ratings come, it's look, you have to adjust to this world. So you're playing, you know, if you're, once there's a government that's going to come after you, that's part of the market.
There's
too.
No pay op-ed. There's no page where that would have been okay to
there's
run.
No, sure. Look, there's no profits once the government shuts you down. So yeah. The government's even more important than profits. So it's, you get to this point where it goes, no, we wish there's a, if you look at the internet, all those guys, that's a free market too. Those guys want ratings. They want people on their sites. They want people to watch their shit. But they're all talking about the real deal shit. Because they're not these big corporations who are checked by government. So it's not this idea that it's a free market and that's
the
problem.
In a free market, let's say who's that?
Gomez.
Let's say that was, fuck him. Let's say I ran a whatever company, Starbucks. I made coffee. Started going good, 2 stores. Started going good all over the state of Washington. Started going great, then let's go down to California. Now I'm a national chain, now I'm an international chain.
Right.
Stories starting to come out about how caffeine is bad for you. Well, I have a lot of money. I've got a lot of money. I'm open all over the world. And I'm taking out ads in the Washington Post all the time. And as these stories come out, for me to say, hey, Washington Post, just so you know I advertise with you guys a lot. I probably won't do that as much if you keep running these stories on how caffeine is bad for you. And so then because they're afraid of losing all this money, they don't do that. Same reason why you can't say a specific name brand in a comedy act on TV. Because they're like, McDonald's might be our sponsor. So if you shit on us, they're not going to be our sponsor. And we're affected by the money. So we're going to let you be creatively less free because of the money we might lose.
Okay.
So in a free market, me, who now owns Starbucks, will stop the media from running those stories.
Well, okay. So the biggest problem
there... So people won't know that caffeine's dangerous.
So the biggest problem there is almost like the monopolistic aspect of it. You're like, so I am contributing to this media. It's this one media. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then I can pull my money out if they run something unfavorably to me. Mm-hmm. And the best solution to that is always competition. So more newspapers, more... Look, the market works in strange ways. I remember... I wasn't even alive, but Ralph Nader used to say, like in the 70s, that he said unless there were laws passed, you would never get consumer reporting on television. And
because
it makes
they go
sense.
Against Chevy.
It, the idea
the
of
Chevy
it, right,
sucks.
It makes sense. Like it's plausible. You go, oh yeah, they make money from sponsors, so why would they want reporters investigating their sponsors? The sponsors won't like this. But what ended up happening is no laws were passed and every single channel ended up doing investigative reporting. And
because Nader made people understand that they want
it. It's not even just that he...
Because the ratings
would... It's worth it. Yeah. There is a value to NBC that people respect the news on NBC and think that they're going to be honest about their sponsors.
Right.
There's a value in that. People
like
that. The market works in
that's
mysterious ways.
When you watch NBC News or CNN, you're like, I know that the mandate on CNN, the mandate is that they show 2/3... pro-war, 1/3 against war.
And that's
war.
Right, and that's what happens when
so
you get
now
like
you're
what I was
affecting
saying before.
People's ideas.
But what you want in that situation where you say there's been this newspaper you've been contributing to or whatever, or you've been advertising with, you're going to pull your advertising if they run this story, is what you want is another newspaper who you haven't been advertising with.
Right.
Who goes, well, I'm going to run this fucking story. And then you go to your mind, well, maybe you'll pay off that newspaper too. Okay, but then there's 500 more newspapers. Maybe you'll pay off all 500 newspapers. Now you're going out of business because you're paying... You know, the market has all these... So now it is like even that is costing you your money. All these
market
forces work. I mean,
so
they work...
No, you're saying the libertarian says there's no reason to step in. There's no reason to step in. It'll work itself out.
It'll work itself out better than when you step in.
And then deal with the outlying cases here or there.
Once the government steps in, it becomes a really simple solution. The government steps in. There's one agency that regulates you. All you got to do is figure out how to get, donate enough money to that regulation, the company or whatever, you know what I mean, that lobby them to get the laws you want. You get in charge of that regulation. That's it. Now you don't have to worry about nothing anymore.
The people of New York want, a lot of them would love to have mixed martial arts in Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
The reason they don't have that is because of unions needing to get paid.
Right.
And part of those unions are the government. It's another union where they're like, you have to pay us. You have to give us enough money or pay, to get the government to say, yes, it's legal.
Yeah, well, the problem is the government.
And the governments are run by the unions, pay the government. The unions, so they're like, the unions say, hey, don't do this because they're not going to use these guys. They're not going to use union soda workers. They're not going to use union whatever. And they're like, we pay a fair wage. The union's asking for too much here, and we want to use other people. And now they can't.
It's indefensible. So that, I mean, how could you defend that? Because these I mean, it's like out of the mafia, because you're not willing to pay this like ransom. You can't. So, look, the idea that
the only way they can do that is by them overwhelming the people that would want to do it. It should be legal, and then the union should say, well, then we're not going to let anybody work Madison Square Garden for MMA. It's like, okay, but at least I'm allowed. At least I'm legally allowed to have mixed martial arts here.
Sure, and then if people want to join the union,
and if you want to start up a thing and saying no one should come to this and pick it outside, all right, fine. If it works, fine.
Yeah.
But legally, I should be allowed to put this on. I should be allowed to pay MSG the, I don't know, $1 million it costs to rent it out for the night.
Yeah, the idea that the government chooses our entertainment for us, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Genuinely, it's insane. I mean,
so what's, first of all, where is this guy?
I don't know. I'm checking how long it's been.
It's been at least an hour and a half.
An hour and a half?
Yeah. He said half to an hour.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. All right, I'll text him and ask him. Shit, man, I got really low service in here, too. Fuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fuck.
Right here? What do you have, AT&T like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes for the last few days, it just goes out. It just, like, it won't move, and I'll get, like, voicemails from a week ago.
Yeah, dude, that's
the
worst.
The voicemail from a week ago.
I can't
trust the system now.
Shit, dude, I hope he hasn't like tried to fucking call.
Let's. Oh yeah, you want to text him again?
Yeah.
Hold on, let's pause this. Sometimes it does that where it once you get one text and like seven come through.
Okay.
What?
He just said no, I didn't, but I'm headed there now.
Headed there now. Yeah. Talk about this. All right, so now it's going to be another half hour.
Son of a bitch.
This God is the free market you're talking about.
No, this isn't a free market at all. We're in a black market.
Okay, but let's say a black free market. Forget about the fact that you have to do it undercover and stuff.
No, that's why it's happening like this.
Oh, no. Okay, but here. So he said half an hour to an hour. It's been an hour. It's been an hour and a half plus. It's been an hour and probably 30
minutes.
Yeah,
name me the legalized market for anything where that happens.
No, okay, but now this happens consistently. I will no longer use this service.
Right, sure.
If
that's the market.
Going, fuck, I have to leave now, man. I could have gotten
sure.
Back.
Yes.
I won't use this guy anymore. Or people say, like, is he good? I'm like, he's got good weed, man. But guess what? You're going to be stuck there all day long waiting for it.
Right.
FedEx.
Yeah,
FedEx doesn't. It says we can be there between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. You're like, I got a job.
Yeah.
I can't.
And it hurts them. Like, they're motivated to be there, you know,
earlier
to some degree on time. Or you know, it's like a range. It's like they know how late they can be before people stop. You know,
if the only repercussions was people grumble but still use our service, like the TSA, then they would not change.
Right.
Like, yeah, let them grumble.
Yeah.
I used to have this bit about how AT&T wasn't getting any service at all when they got the iPhone. It was awful. And everyone was on that, so they couldn't handle the data. And the excuse was, well, there's so many people use it, it's overloaded the system. It's like, when is being too popular a reason why your service won't work?
Yeah,
use the extra money that you're getting from all the people and build more towers.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? I was like, do you think they care? Do you think they care that we're not getting service? They're lighting their cigars with $100 bills, laughing at us, saying, this doesn't work. We'll just make a new one. They'll buy that too. Fuck them.
Yeah, you might be right.
So now what's the answer to all this? Where do you see it going?
I mean, like, what's the answer, or what is going to happen?
Let's say there seems like a way bigger public sentiment against Syria. It seems like it's like the
outrage. I'm really encouraged by that.
Yeah, me too.
That's like the most positive thing I've seen in a long time. This was really, really interesting, what just happened. You know, this was really a first.
Because people were actively on Facebook and on Twitter and just in – that's the only way people could know about it is social media.
Sometimes people got
to go – they were going – I don't like this. I don't want to go to war with Syria. Yeah. And more people were saying that, to the point where I'm sure some were like, no, we have to. But those were drowned out by the voices of saying no.
Way, way, way drowned out. I think sometimes people got to go through really, really fucked up shit before we learn pretty simple lessons.
Well, it's like when you have
George
a friend
Bush,
who works for you.
Like George Bush might have been like the best thing for the anti-war movement ever. You know,
and Obama not quite working out.
And Obama,
like,
you know.
Hold on. Enough is enough.
Dude, like, this never happened before in my lifetime or ever in American history that a president wanted to bomb somewhere and not been able to do it. There's never been a president who's asked for authorization from Congress to use force and not gotten it. And Obama was about to be the first one to ever do that because he delayed the vote because he didn't want to be that guy.
Rand Paul asked him?
Yeah.
He asked John Kerry, I just want to know if we're going to vote on this, if you're going to abide by our vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, well, what's the
point? Why
are we doing the vote? If the vote is just to blame us, they're saying, we might vote for you. We might say, yes, you need to do this. But we want to know that if you don't do it, you won't go to war. And Kerry's like, nope, can't make that promise.
Yeah, look.
So then why are we voting?
Maybe one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard in my life was when Obama gave that first speech and he goes, I have the authority to act unilaterally, but I understand that we're in the oldest constitutional democracy, so I'm going to go to Congress. You go, so that is your, Mr. former constitutional lawyer, that's your understanding of a constitutional democracy, is a dictator can unilaterally bomb wherever he wants to, but as a token gesture,
you're making
I go to Congress for a vote that is meaningless, even if they vote against it, I can still go do it. Like that, dude, if you watch, it's literally like, hell has frozen over. Vladimir, if you look at Vladimir Putin compared to Obama, what they've been saying over the
way
last
more
month,
for freedom.
Vladimir Putin, the conservative Soviet former KGB member, and Obama, the progressive constitutional lawyer.
Putin's going, how about we talk?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. It's insane. Like, this is the fucking world we live in, man. It's so crazy. Like, we're kind of the bad guys.
Also, the idea that we're going to go in there and just like launch a few missiles, just say, hey, just so you know, that's for the chemical warfare, don't use them again. And then that's the end of it. A little bit okay, we won't use chemical weapons.
Such a deterrent.
And they won't come back and say, well, we're going to retaliate. We're going to fucking bomb you. Somebody said, like, if somebody launched a few missiles at America because America did something evil to someone,
we're going to war. Not only a war, it would be like you're with us or against us. It would be like everyone has to be at war with them or we're at war with you too.
Yeah.
It would be so drastic. No, that, I mean, if anyone acted the way we act around the world, it would be so easy to just...
Like, how is launching missiles someone not an act of war against them?
Yeah. But all types of things. Not even just like war. Like, all types of things. Like,
well, you said this. You made an interesting point about the deterrent factor. Like, you have to show them and other countries too that it's a deterrent. And your point was like, well, look what we've done to every other country who's used it. Massive deterrence hasn't helped here.
Yeah, Saddam gassed his people. We had one of the biggest military interventions. You know, hung him, killed a trillion of his
on TV.
People. I'm sorry, killed a million of his people, spent a trillion of our dollars. I mean, a real effort. And that didn't do anything
to Syria.
Nothing.
They still did it.
You know, so they still went and did it. There was no deterrent.
So this doesn't really work as a deterrent.
If they did it. You know, if it is
right,
the Assad regime
but it's
that
still,
did it.
Right. If they did it, if they didn't do it, there's no reason for me to go there anyway. Right. But if they did do it, then it clearly has not force has not worked as a deterrent.
Yeah, and you
this
also have
won't
to
either.
Put it in perspective. You know, I don't know, the numbers range from like 300 to 1400 people died in this thing. But that, look, in proportion, that's not that many people. That
yeah, and that's
killed.
Another thing, I mean, too, when they're like, it's 1400 and something people, 400 children. And
these,
every,
people get killed
every
all over, man.
Rights group goes, it's 300 people total. It's not 400 children, 1400.
Yeah, yeah.
300 people
total.
No,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they just jumped to that number.
And then America's like, no, this is the number. And it's like, wait, why are we believing you when the human rights group who loves saying people
died?
And
even
died,
just stuff like that.
Won't do it.
But even stuff like that, when there's like four studies come out and it's like you're using by far the biggest number. Oh, like, why would you do that?
Why are you just giving us the real
right,
story?
Like, why are you persuading me to bomb people when you should just be being like, it's so
saying like, here's the details. What do you guys think? Yeah, we represent you.
It's so fucked up.
So now, okay, so this is kind of nice. But in the past, if someone tries to rise up against the government in a legal way, like Occupy Wall Street, the government will do things, proven things like send in people to start violence.
Yeah.
Send in people. We will pay people to go in there, push people around, start violence. Then we can send the cops in to shut it down.
Yeah.
So we did
so
that.
Tough.
Our
it's
government
so tough
did
to beat that.
So now how do you go through a legal system and create any change? If that way, all they did there was sit-ins. That's all they were doing.
I don't know. Let's just sit here.
Violently attacked them.
To create real change, I mean, I think Occupy is like a drop in a bucket of what you need. You know,
so what's the method? Because I'm pretty vocal about that. I think there's only one way to get things done. But
well,
go ahead.
What do you think?
How does any regime change happen in any country across the globe?
Violence is what you're saying, like some bloody shit.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe. I mean, I think what's
I don't see
have
a way
happen,
that it could happen without that. But go ahead. What is another possibility?
Well, what's going to have to? I mean, in practicality, I think what's going to have to lead to it is much more of a crash, which I think is on the way.
You mean like an economic crash?
Yeah, I think an economic crash.
That's what this guy said. The new guy is in charge of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
He said, they want strikes within America. And he goes, I want you guys to focus these strikes on their economic centers. Because as it was, we did one attack once, and they have spent trillions in... I mean, the TSA alone is $150 billion. But the other things...
Oh, dude, Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, and we are now currently going broke. And we are going into the recession, and we're spending so much money on this other stuff, and they'll like just keep tacking in their economics, and they'll fall that way.
Yeah,
we keep retaliating with spending more money.
Yeah, no, look, I think what's going to happen. My honest guess is it's unfortunate, but I think we're going to get into a huge war,
world war
to avoid, to kind of mask the depression that's coming. To almost kind of like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
jobs.
We're going to collapse. But this is almost like, it's still just as bad. It doesn't actually help the economy. War never helps the economy. It's the most ridiculous fallacy ever.
What is it? Help in the short term?
No, not even in the short. It makes some numbers look better. It doesn't help. I mean, if you count unemployment and then you draft everyone, you go, unemployment is down. But it's not like no one's eating better. No one's like doing better in real terms.
The TSA was supposed to be 16,000 people. 16,000.
Yeah, it always ends up being.
It is now above 65,000.
Well, that's the thing where you almost go.
From 16 to 65.
That's the thing where you go, you almost wish if they were at all honest, if there was like a shred of honesty in any of these motherfuckers, it's like when Obama proposes, Obamacare, and he goes, it'll be deficit neutral, it'll cost $1.1 trillion, and then we save $1.1 trillion from here, so it'll be deficit neutral. But I should mention that every single government program we've ever created, we've given a projection of the money, and it always comes in about 3 to 10 times higher than we figured it was going to be. So there's a chance
that it might
might come in a little bit
possible.
Higher than what I'm arguing right now. But it doesn't even throw it. It's like a certainty. It's like not. And just like you said with the numbers before, it's a certainty that 1,400 is the number.
Right.
300 isn't
certainty.
The number. It's 1,400. That's it.
Yeah.
Period.
It's like this though. It's like when you're getting your house fixed or getting an extension on your house, something like that. White people problems, but contractors, it is pretty known that they're gonna give you a budget, and they're gonna say, well, we had rain, and they're gonna come in over budget by like 20 or 30%. When people go kind of crazy, they're like, I could afford $20,000, I cannot afford $27,000.
Right,
you're at $70,000 right now. What the give me my fucking house, get the fuck out of here. It's like, but we know that is a problem,
right?
So we're going in, we're like, oh, hold on, I don't know if I can afford it, because I know they always end up charging you more. So like, yeah, for him to present those stats,
yeah,
it's like,
right,
you're lying. Then you're lying.
At least acknowledge that there's a chance.
So what do you see happening? You see an economic.
I think things are going to get a lot worse before they get better, but I think there's a chance for them to get better after they get a lot worse.
In what way?
Because I think once
take us down the road.
Look, I think there's been enough of. This is what. All right. So the movement, the libertarian movement, I think is the only one that has like the answers.
Yeah.
And we've grown tremendously. Like, we have a lot more we'd need to grow. But we grew a lot off the crash.
Who's we? The
libertarian? The libertarian movement. Whatever it is, the Ron Paul movement or whatever. Any movement toward, like, anti-war, anti-big government type movement, which I think is what we need.
When Ron Paul said this one thing about, like, he was like, hey, it'd be great if we were the force of the nations, but we are failing at home. We're not doing here. So the idea that we can go out and have bases in 30, however many other countries, 131, 31, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, he's talking
like
about how
we can't afford. Like,
well,
we clearly can't afford going on vacation when we can't pay our rent.
Well, we have a two-party system, which and the difference is the vast difference between, one group says we should tax the top marginal rate at 39.5%, and the other one says 36%. This is or 35%.
That's
the choice. This is the debate that we have, and this is the democracy that we're fighting to export all over the world. Like, we're giving this grand choice to people at the force of a gun. Like, it's insane. It doesn't even work here. I think that movement is what needs to take over. Now, what happened was Ron Paul did a tremendous amount to like bring a lot, like me.
So
I'm
you think more libertarian senators will pop up?
Well, we've gotten some more, but not enough. But look, what happened is a lot of the libertarian and the Austrian economics who are like
and the what? Kind
of, Austrian economics is like the economics guys who are libertarian economics. Kind
Austrian
of,
economics?
That's what they call it, just because a lot of the libertarian guys were Austrians.
Okay.
But it's like these guys predicted the crash in 2007, and that was a big part of why people started to really flock to them because everyone in the mainstream, like on CNBC, everyone's like, there was no way to see this coming. This was
who's the major who's the our richest guy, America.
In America, I mean, from like what they report, I don't know. Like,
who's
what
the investment guy that's like, like he's super, super rich? Buffett.
Warren Buffett. Yeah.
And he was like, he was like, hey, until you tax richer people, more, like I'm not going to pay it. Like, I'll find loopholes. I will continue to do though.
Yeah,
but I think because I'm super smart. Take away the loopholes and I will pay stuff.
Yeah, but I find that kind of disingenuous. You know, it's like,
this is what he said.
What the billionaires say.
Yeah.
You know, people tend to like liberal.
But he goes, you tax people evenly because I don't pay as much taxes as someone who's making 50 grand a year. Right. Because I pay less and I'm making so much more. So, like, the idea that we're taxing everyone equally is ridiculous.
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Certainly, it's crazy that, you know, there's like all these loopholes and shit like that.
But he said,
I disagree with him.
He was talking about the tech boom and everyone going crazy and investing. And he came into this is all in the book Quiet about introverts. But he came in, he's not the greatest public speaker in the world, but he came in and said, guys, this shows all the warning signs of a big collapse.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, do not invest in the tech companies. It just shows. All the warning signs I've ever had to have any crash. Like, this will go. And people are like, ah, fuck you. They call them a dinosaur, that it can't exist in today's market. And then tech markets, the bottom fell out.
And this is when, you know, that look, I mean, I don't like Warren Buffett very much. I a lot of shit he says I disagree with. But that he did see that coming. Yeah, yeah. He was good on the tech bubble. I think he was pretty good on the real estate bubble, too. But it is like that. So that's a big thing, is that as these things start, what's happening, it's like libertarianism had a huge failure in America. Like, we're our country is founded on a lot of libertarian type principles.
Wait, the idea of libertarian comes from this. Liberty, meaning
it used free, to be liberal. The word libertarian and liberal have kind of been flipped around, but yes, it's from the root of liberty, and it just meaning
give me liberty or give me death.
Yes, all that's that all stuff they're in trying America, to do is
it has this connotation of like libertarian nuts.
We lost the argument in a big way in like a few different eras, and it was very easy to kind of see, you know, like if it makes it in the 60s, Barry Goldwater, who was probably the most libertarian presidential candidate, you know, in a while, he had lost to LBJ, who was like one of the biggest government presidents, in the biggest rout ever. He lost like 49 states or something like that. It was like ridiculous. And look, in the 60s, man, the argument of going like, we need to create these entitlement programs. We're going to create Medicare and everyone will be covered in their old age for healthcare. We're in the richest country in the world. Why wouldn't we cover everyone?
Yeah.
It's a very compelling argument. In the year 2013, the libertarians can say, hey, Medicare's bankrupt. It's, you know, like $80 trillion
Let's
in the hole. Let's take a look at this. This doesn't work. The failure of big government is like surrounding us. It's impossible to not see. I don't even understand anything else.
Yeah, but a lot of times all they do is we'll continue to put more and more band-aids on an original problem that's already disastrous.
It does. There is something about it that it becomes more and more overwhelming. So hopefully, within all these bad things that happen, the libertarians can kind of, people can kind of wake up more and more, and maybe we do have some advantages. Like, even just like, you know, the shit we're doing here, and like ideas spread a lot quicker now. So maybe after this whole thing, this Empire of America crashes, we could rebuild something cool that's built on like weed and love or whatever.
That's what you think, that it'll have to completely
crash. I don't think it's going to happen. Look, I'm not an optimist,
well,
but
what do you
think that's the best
then? Government just take,
I think,
more
it's
control?
Going to crash. Government should what?
You see it going in, is that the guy?
No, it's fucking Lewis.
Put it away. Then the government, you think, will, what does he want? Oh, I wanted to start this thing.
No. It's, I don't need to start. He's just telling me about what I have to get over. Like, he said his phone's dead or whatever. I don't know.
You see him just taking more power then? Until then?
Yeah. I think, look, I don't know. You know, I heard...
I don't see them giving up their power.
Well, here's the thing, is that they don't want to... I've heard this argument...
I don't see them getting rid of jobs.
I think they might
exist,
be smart enough.
Like government jobs.
They might
be
smart enough to realize that they're about to break this whole piggy bank and just bring it back down to a level where it's more sustainable. Right. What I think you might see is what, you know, I get a little suspicious when I see Rand Paul getting like embraced by some, you know, establishment people. I think they might turn against the dependent class, turn to maybe a more of kind of like like some libertarian kind of language to cut benefits enough that we don't have to like bleed out. I do think at the end of the day, they still want to be able to suck off the productive people. And if they kill the productive people with all these dependent people,
what's the dependent people? Oh, like,
you know, whoever is just like not working on fucking unemployment or whatever. Eventually, like they do need the productive. They need it. You know, they're the parasite.
They have no blood left.
Eventually, if you're a really smart parasite, you do realize it's not in your interest to kill the host.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That maybe could be a hope. I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but no, I don't. I can't really be too optimistic. I don't see how we're in any easy way going to pry this power away from these.
You know, they had this law that insider trading. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
And so they made laws around that. Like, don't do that because I don't know. Can't. I don't know why exactly. It can't be open.
It's a fucked up law anyway. Insider trading should be legal
because they're like, yeah, you did more research.
You have information.
But they want everyone having the same access to it.
Isn't that the idea of?
But then, what is it going to be? People are going to change the market because they know things.
Yeah, but that's what you want. You want people to change the market based off the right information. You know what I mean? Like if something is worth more, then you want it stocks to go.
Even if it's just some guy on the inside knowing, like, hey, I'm just
sure. But that happens all the time. I mean, it's like, why else would you ever start a business if you didn't know a little more about that business than someone else or know how to make money in it? It's not, again, it's my whole thing. You're not.
So with insider trading,
you're not violating anyone's freedom.
But they made it illegal for a while.
Sure, yeah, it is illegal.
Except one group of people could still insider trade. It was Congress.
Yeah, the people who have the most insider information. And they have inside information that is not like inside information like we're getting this new line of something we think it's going to sell good.
Yeah.
It's inside information like we're writing a law that says you have to buy this.
Yeah.
Like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's definitive inside information.
Yeah.
You think these motherfuckers aren't investing
based
on the healthcare law when they know that law is coming out and so they know all the health insurance companies prices are going to shoot up?
And so you think like, well, why would they allow someone in Congress to do this thing that we don't allow anyone to do? Like this wouldn't benefit. I can see letting Congress have, less traffic to work. Something like that. You can take HOV lanes if you're in Congress. We want you to work faster or something.
Right.
But like, this will benefit you and no one else. This doesn't benefit anyone else. So like why? Anyway, there's this guy. I was in New Jersey or something, and I was on the watching a TV campaign. This guy came in. New congressman, new politicians. Those are always the ones that get stuff done before they really get involved in the system. He came and saw this, and he was like, what the fuck? Why are we allowed and no one else? So he created a bill and said, congressmen shouldn't be allowed to insider trade either. Signed into law. And Obama signed it and he said, hey man, good job. This is a good one. That absolutely should not be a law.
Right.
And so they weren't allowed to insider trade anymore until they signed a new law where now they can do it again.
Well, that's the fucked up thing with government is even when you get a victory, it's like you
they
end up winning. That's like what you said. I think that's what Syria is going to be. Like they'll end up bombing them anyway. It's like when we didn't Clinton wanted to go to war with Iraq, but never actually went to war with them. You know, and then it's like, okay, so he didn't get him. But then
it's with the NDAA, it's with a lot of things where they say we realize what it was. They're slipping this thing into this bill. And that's how all bills work. Like they're like, it's the protect the homeless people. Also, and we'll get the money from paving the street, or I don't know, taxes on the streets. Street taxes, we'll get the homeless people off the streets. Also, in that street tax money, we're also going to build two drones that we're going to use to attack on someone.
Right.
I'm like, wait, what? And if you vote against it, now you're against helping homelessness.
Yep.
So let's say you do it. You put that money in there. And people find out this is part of the bill. There's going to be drone attacks on schools in Connecticut with this bill. And people are like, hey, take this out. What the fuck? You're trying to get this power. We got to stop you. I'm like, all right. It gets found out. Everyone gets up in arms, gets voted down. Victory. The next bill, they try to slip it into. Until someone won't notice it. Yeah. It's like Eddie, like I told you, it's like Eddie Bravo's Twister. You got to get the back of their head, and eventually, you're in a position where they can't move, eventually you're going to get it.
Like you've got them. It's like you
just
have.
Keep trying. They can only defend.
The house always wins.
Yeah, it's like if you're pitching, and the other team's always on offense. Yeah, you might be up 1-0, but if they get 200 outs. Eventually, you're not going to be up 1-0.
Yeah, eventually. Even if you just swing the bat enough times.
Yeah, you're eventually going to score some runs.
It's it's very hard. It's very
hard. So they can keep doing that. So I don't think, what I know of humans is that they won't stop trying to get one over on people.
Yeah.
Human beings are not these moral, the people that work in our government are not these moral higher up.
Well, it's like the same thing you said with religion. It's like you have this sense of almost like, oh, these are the grown-ups and things are done for, you know, they always kind of tell you like, well, this is done for the right for righteous reasons, like it's done for you. And you kind of think that, and then eventually you realize it's like, oh no, I mean, it's just not, the idea that any regulation or any lobbyist is lobby, laws, you can find out where a law came from. You know what I mean? It's not just like a guess, like there's an answer. You can test it. It's testable. You go back, it's like, is there a sugar quota because some benevolent senator thought this would be best for everyone? Or is it because the sugar industry lobbied for it? It's because the sugar industry lobbied for it. Yeah. It's not. There's not like a.
What's a sugar quota?
We have sugar quotas in this country. So it's we artificially limit the amount of sugar you're allowed to import into the country. Yeah. So it drives up the price of sugar. This is worth, you know, maybe every person spends like a couple $100 a year more on sugar than you ended up with, but the people in the sugar industry make billions of dollars more a year. So it's worth way more to them than it is to other people. At the same time, as we're taxing sugar, we're subsidizing corn.
Yeah.
So we have corn syrup in all of our sodas, which is way worse for you than sugar and tastes shittier than sugar. It's like all these like ridiculous things, and all people are like making money off this shit in a very corrupt way, and it has nothing to do with people.
Not for lobbyists paying politicians, say, we're going to contribute this to your next campaign, or we'll get this other thing you want to get done, we'll contribute to that, we have all this money for that, whatever it is, instead of doing that, it would be the politicians going, wait, is this healthy or not? Oh no, it's not healthy,
right? Exactly. The problem, I mean, the lobbyist is a symptom, but the problem is the power. You know, like if you have a government that's spending $3.5 trillion a year, someone's gonna find out how to manipulate that power, that much awesome power. You know what I mean? Like, now whether it's lobbyists or something else, I don't know. The problem is that you just don't want them to spend that much money. You don't want the government to have any authority to do anything in the sugar industry, and then no one in the sugar industry has any reason to lobby the government because they have no authority to do anything there. You know what I mean? Like, that's
because it can't work.
Yeah, what are you gonna lobby?
So you don't see it. Okay, so you see it not changing in our lifetime. Do you see it changing? Or do you see them taking more and more power?
I do. Changing
really
is
nice.
Changing 100% things are going to change. We live in an era of change. I'm convinced of that. I don't know what it's going to be, and I'm not too optimistic. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I
definitely see them shutting off our internet at some point.
They're coming for the internet hard. Whether it's this NSA stuff, all the bills to regulate the internet, they're really trying to. They're getting a lot of resistance on it. But
they know that's how Libya got overthrown, is by free access to the internet. Is that him?
No. God damn it.
Been another 20 minutes since then. 24 minutes.
Jesus Christ. He's the worst.
Yeah, once Gaddafi gave his people the internet and they could see what was going on and have free access to information, then it was like, wait, what are we listening to you for? So they definitely want, I think they definitely want that taken away as a means. Plus, like I told you, I believe there will be an armed revolution in this country. And if there is an armed revolution, the only way we're going to be able to communicate is through the internet. So I think
you wonder what's it
going
to take. We're going to have to get a lot poorer for that to happen, man. A lot hungrier.
You see a collapse happening.
It has to be like that for an armed revolution, I think. But yeah, I do see a collapse happening. Yes, yeah, it's got to. I can't believe it's lasted this long.
But people say, like, well, do you know how powerful the American government is? Like that, where they can just just completely squash any. And it's like, you don't think the Syrian army has tons of? You don't. Do you realize how big Syria is? They're not just like, it's not the size of half of Maryland. It's a massive country.
But
Russia,
look,
massive
The second biggest army, you know, if we're the greatest military of all time, the second greatest military of all time would have to be the Soviets.
China. Oh,
yeah. In their heyday, the Soviets. And they fell for the same reasons. Yeah. You know, the greatest militaries always fall. It doesn't matter. Conquering the world is a lot more than just the ability to blow it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't just kill all civilians until the armed people say, okay, we're not going to. The more you kill, the more they're going to be like, well, now we have to fight this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And you can't just go door to door shooting everybody because most of them are not going to be involved. Yeah. The armed people that are going to revolutionize, they're just going to be the tremendous minority. They're just going to get moral support from people.
Right. Yeah.
And then they'll kill more innocents, which will give more people the reason to go over there and fight against the government.
But you do you wonder how much what it would take, because it's such a crazy thing where you see something like just even like, you know, these things that are so outrageous that you'd be like, well, this is the thing that, like, I mean, Bradley Manning said he like genuinely believed he was going to start this revolution that you're talking about. He was like, well, I'm going to release this. I don't know if armed or anything, but he goes, I'm going to release this information and people are going to revolt when they know this. And there is enough information there to revolt, but there isn't.
Dude, I think they're like, seeing that now too.
Dude,
I'm going,
Bloomberg.
Now we have them. If they know this stuff and they won't revolt.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Look, when someone does something as dictatorial as what Bloomberg did, I'm going to vote against the he struck down the term limit laws
while he was
so
in office.
He could go for an extra term.
and everyone just kind of takes it. You just this motherfucker who turned down Gracie Mansion.
It's the idea that people in charge will protect us.
Yeah.
But that's a fallacy. That's not true. They're just dudes. They're just people.
This motherfucker's got six mansions. Look out for themselves. Who's he protecting?
I have to. No one else could do a good enough job. You're not ending the idea of your position. You're just saying, I can go on with it. It's like, we're going to still have mayors and governors. Yeah, we can have someone. You know what the Israeli army does? If you're a general, I think you have a two-term limit, and then you are out. Because they don't want whoever's in charge of the army becoming too powerful.
Yeah, yeah, and that's term limits are a good thing, man. And that's but things like that this billionaire
and
would
they tell anyone else, the next general, they let them know everything they've done so far. They bring them up to speed. It's not like they're doing away with the head of the general of the army.
Yeah,
they're just saying someone else take it now. That's the same thing we have with presidents. If you end it while you're in office, it should be, hey, no more term limits. Obviously,
yeah,
I can't run third time.
What a crazy thing to just accept that he did that. But, you know, there's so many things like that that we just kind of accept. And you're like, that's pretty crazy that, you know what I mean? Like, you
people
can just
like,
get away with that shit.
You can. They can get away with it.
Yeah, so that's almost when you say there's going to be an armed revolt. I do wonder. I'm like, almost like, what would it take? I mean, if you really, when you study, like, you know, revolutions, like the American Revolution. I mean, these British motherfuckers were really like they started taking like a third of their money. We were already giving up more than that. What took them to revolt was really like they were coming in their houses and shit. They were like coming in their houses, like, this is my house. I think that's almost the point it has to come to before people are like you said, it goes, once it gets to that point, we're like, well, fuck it. I might as well at this point. If I'm just going to be living for these people coming in my house and like taking my shit, like my daughter. It was like shit like that. Like,
Get raped and then there won't be any repercussions because the army will protect somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Or whatever. And then he's like, what? What am I? Yeah, and then that'll get people more.
Yeah,
and they will protect them just like they'll protect their buddies. They'll also be, at some point they're just going to like, fuck it. I have no reason not to.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah. People say this when they're making new laws, like the president wants to be able to, and now has the ability to arrest people with and never charge them with anything.
Right.
We have the government has the ability to do that. I told my mom that. She goes, that's not true. Show me that. So I quickly did a Google search and I showed her three articles on it.
Sure.
Within a minute and a half, where the government now, the same, you know, we have a right to trial by jury, speedy. That's all like, no.
It's
people say,
different.
Well, Obama's never going to use that. Well, what about the guy four presidents from now? That's right now he's 16 years old.
It's already, it's
and
not
he's
even
beating
that.
Up bullies.
It's forget
that guy's going to be in charge and he'll
used.
Have the ability
Obama
to do
is
it.
Using it. Look, man, this guy, what's his name? Ellsberg was the Pentagon Papers guy.
Yeah, what is the Pentagon Papers? Explain that.
He was like it's what brought down the Nixon administration, right? Okay. So he's released like these were classified documents or whatever that about I don't know exactly, to be honest, what the fuck he released, but he was charged with a whole bunch of shit. I don't know what exactly, espionage or treason, something like that. And he was on the news recently. They were talking to him, Daniel Ellsberg, I think. And they were like, so, you know, how about Snowden, like, went to China? They were like, you didn't go to China when you came out, you know, you stayed in your country. And he goes, it was a different country then. He goes I got charged, I appeared in front of a judge. I got out on bail. I was able to go to the media. You know what I mean? Make my case to them before, you know, as I was going back to trial, like, I got good lawyers. The presidency was brought down in that time period. I went to trial. I was able to make my case and get off. Because if Snowden was stayed in America today,
he'd
have been thrown in
a
fucking hole. We'd never heard from this motherfucker.
We don't have to put him in front of a judge.
He'd be Bradley Manning if he got that much of a show trial.
How long was Bradley Manning before he was even
before he got the show trial?
2 years?
And then, solitary, like naked solitary. And shit like that. Like, he's fucking, you know, so that's where he'd be. He'd be naked in a hole somewhere and we never talked to him.
Idea is saying you should have gone through this right system. It's like,
no, it's like there is no system anymore. There is no system.
When you have to go to Russia to protect your free speech.
Yeah. And again, but that is almost a great example just in itself of how competition works, even when it's evil competition, right? So Russia, because they're in competition with America, is going to act
like
in the interest of freedom just to make it look like America is a less free country. They they really enjoy it looking like America is the country who commits moral atrocities.
Is that the guy? It's been 32.
Oh, shit. What? Yes, it is. Hold on. What's the building number?
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
So those Pentagon papers, he wouldn't be able to do that in today's system.
Have to do what Snowden's done. He'd have to go to like fucking China or do what this guy Assange, where he's in like fucking South America somewhere.
And then yeah, when we know we can just grab people and get them, it's like, yeah, you really have to take care. If you want to whistleblow, if you want to be the guy who says, I'm going to stand up for what's right. What Snowden did really was say, hey, the NSA lied to Congress, and I have proof that they lied to Congress. And people are like, oh, well, he was just a contractor. He was just somebody they gave information to, some contractor who could do stuff like this.
But also, I mean, he was, you know, he took an oath. He worked for the NSA. I mean, look, he took an oath to the Constitution. That's what they all take. You take an oath to the Constitution, and then you get in and see it being violated left and right. Like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, it's incredibly noble for someone who knows, too. Like, he had eyes open.
Well aware.
He knows what's happening to Bradley Manning.
Didn't
and
tell
he goes,
his girlfriend.
This is quite possibly going to be my fucking future. Like, they may get me. Now it looks like he's going to live a life somewhere, but it looked like that might be his life. You know what I mean? Like, that's the balls on that motherfucker. I can't even imagine having that type of balls. I mean, I believe like the shit I believe. By the way, I also would say, you know, because a lot of people, like people who don't give a shit about politics at all, which probably haven't enjoyed this podcast, but I have a lot of friends
I really don't care about them at all. I don't think they help us. I used to not care. I'm like, what's voting mathematically doesn't matter, and also I don't give a fuck.
No, but that's almost my, you know, people come at me with that argument a lot, where they're like, because I have a lot of friends who like don't give a shit about politics at all, and they'll be like, it's like, who cares, what, it doesn't make any difference in what you like, you're not going to change
Coca-Cola.
Anything.
Yeah,
and I always like fucking for some reason that argument to me, it's always like struck me as like, what a strange, it's almost like if I was arguing with you like a religious and an atheist person are arguing over whether there's a God or not, and you came up and you went like, you were like, you guys realize this argument isn't going to change whether there's a God or not. And you're like, yeah, of course not.
Right.
Of course this isn't going to change anything. Like, I'm not suggesting we're changing what's happening. It's just about searching for truth.
Yeah, but
it's like,
thought,
I want to know what the fucking
like
truth is. Mm-hmm. And that's what life is all about, is like wrapping your head around what reality is.
But
and
my
like
thought was more like this.
Shit.
I'd be the guy saying, okay, you're arguing atheist, you're arguing for belief. My argument was, guys, go get a job. This doesn't affect you either way in your day-to-day life.
Well, there's definitely a balance there. I mean, you want to like, I
you
think
you
want to get a job.
All you want, but you still
got to
do shit.
If you're talking about politics and religion and you're fucking starving and you're not getting laid and you're not anything like that, sure. Then you need to, but at the same time, if you're just getting laid and just working and taking care of yourself, it is pretty interesting to like, I don't know, look up to the sky once in a while and think about what the fuck's going on in the world. And like, I think it's important to have a balance of both. Like, you want to like take, you know, I definitely can float too much into the balance of just focusing on external.
My
things.
Feeling is that like, when people are like, oh, you got to vote for the right, I'm like, no, voting, like, it used to be I didn't care, but now I'm like, voting doesn't get it done either way.
Well, now it almost
to where
feels
you
like,
say, like, I'm making a difference with my vote. Like, no, it won't, you can't get it done. Even if you were the majority, your vote still wouldn't get it done.
Well, it almost feels like,
the system is broken.
I'm like, to me, it feels like, I'm trying to think of a good example. It's like, if you were like a black guy in like the Ku Klux Klan South, going to like one of those show trials at the lynchings where they would just let white people off. It's almost like showing up to that trial.
See,
it feels like
difference.
It's like this isn't real. It's an all white jury. It's an all white this. It's an all white judge. It's like, this is obviously, this isn't a real thing. Why? I'm going to pretend I'm going through
pretend
some process.
It's real so that you can say, see, I'm trying to help change.
Like, I'm convincing you I'm not a slave anymore by showing up. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm convincing you I believe I'm free by showing up. You're like, no, I know I'm not fucking voting. I know I'm not picking on any real shit.
This is what hurt with Obama. Because I believed in the idea of Obama.
Yeah, man.
And,
but I wish I just wish there'd be more honesty. Let me tell you something.
I feel betrayed by him.
Look,
to where it's either this. It's either he's another guy that got there and didn't have the power to change anything, or he got corrupted too. And either way, doesn't give me, because I haven't believed in anybody that I believed in more than that when he was running.
I don't think he
and
was.
I'm like,
exactly
either
real.
He's corrupted or can't change. Either way, voting for someone clearly now won't help.
Well, yeah, man, I think that the fact that Obama's been like one of the biggest war criminals in recent history.
Yeah.
Still, you would really think the way it's unbelievable, man. Like, you still have communists out there today. And you were like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like if, like, say, Ron Paul had won the presidency and then done, I'm trying to think of a better example of a 180 degree turn on what he stands for, like, increased the power of the state and the military. Where you'd have to go like, man, I really got to revisit my whole philosophy. Like, I got to revisit everything. You know, when communism came out and you end up having, you know, just tens of millions of people murdered and standing on bread lines, you'd think a lot of communists, and some did, but you think people would go like, I got to revisit my philosophy. Like, that's all I want to say just to these liberals who got gung-ho over Obama. Like, they laugh at me for getting gung-ho over Ron Paul, but it's like, look, I didn't put the biggest fucking war criminal of the world into power. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, by the way, I did. I mean, I voted for Obama in 2008, so I will take part in that too. But I did revisit my philosophy and completely change it after that. Like, I'm just saying, you should, all liberals who voted for Obama, you got to look in the fucking mirror,
man.
Yeah,
you want to stick to be like, no, what I got was right. You're like, maybe at the time, under the best set of circumstances, but now it's like, is it with the new information of how... Because before someone gets elected, we're going on how we think they'll act. And afterwards, yeah, sure, like, well, sure. What have you done? And now, he's done some great things. Repeal, don't ask, don't tell. Let's just let gays in the middle. Why are we still doing that shit? You know?
Yeah, that's insane.
He's done a lot of cool things, but there's a lot of stuff that not only has he not changed, but he's gone the opposite
way. Well, he's not done a lot of cool things. He's thrown a few tokens and all that, you know, around election season to different, you know, to his base. And a few of the things he's done, he's stumbled into the right things. I mean, I think George W. Bush and stumbled into a few of the right things. But overall, I mean, he's been like a disaster. I mean, he's been, you know, he's.
Like this weed delivery. It's been two hours.
Yeah, this guy has got
half an hour.
A lot of nerve. This.
Every time somebody tells me their weed is great, it's never as good as being able to pull over to a store when you're just walking by one.
No, look, dude, obviously it's never going to be anything
and two,
like that.
When people say their weed is great, I think they just mean weed is great. And they don't have the tolerance to know what's better and what's worse.
That's pretty funny.
That's what everyone always says about mushrooms. Oh, the mushrooms I get are awesome. Like, no,
they make you giggle and see stuff?
Yeah, that means mushrooms are sweet. What have you done them twice?
Oh, shit.
I'd rather hope there's a collapse over a military uprising.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens, but I think if we don't do some military shit, there's no question there will be a collapse. It'll be a collapse either way, but it's just like
an economic
they
collapse.
Can kind of hide it better when there's a world war going on.
You made an interesting point about how it's like Pledge of Allegiance and all these things. It's like we're just ingraining in us, like,
oh,
they
yeah.
are right.
I go,
they
imagine,
are
you know,
right.
Imagine, like, this isn't mine. This
you're
is, I told you, it's this guy, Tom Woods,
yeah.
who I think to me is like the most badass, like, historian dude. He's just really interesting, like, libertarian historian, Tom Woods. But he always says this thing, I thought it was such a great thing, where he goes, he's like, let's say, like, Walmart ran all the schools, and Walmart just got to teach all of our kids. And then, you know, every day they pledged allegiance. And you think about those words. They pledged allegiance to Walmart. And up on the wall, there were all these pictures of, like, Walmart CEOs. And they'd make up these lies about them. Like, the first Walmart CEO never told a lie. Like, you know, just ridiculous things that couldn't
but
even be
real. But at 7 years old, you're like, this sounds good. Okay,
but you're teaching this to children as fact. And this is and it's always a constant thing. And, you know, you'd be starving if it wasn't for these great leaders of Walmart. And the world would be an evil place. And then Walmart saved the world from fascism, and then Walmart, and then people come out with, like, would it be ridiculous to imagine people might come out with a little bit of a bias toward Walmart?
Yeah.
Like, would it be ridiculous that maybe when I'm trying to argue to people that Walmart isn't the center
that,
of humanity,
that their reaction
would
be like, come on,
that isn't
man,
necessary?
Come on.
Yeah.
What are we gonna go to Target?
You go, oh, what are you, one of these crazy people who doesn't trust Walmart? You go, oh, huh, yeah, I am one of those crazy people who doesn't trust Walmart. And then if I'm pointing at, you know, that Walmart's like killed a million people
yeah.
over here or something, it's like a, you know, it's such a weird
people. Also, the thing is, like, well, people might think like, well, I'm older now, I can see through it. But it's like, you don't realize what an impact being a child and hearing something has.
Oh, yeah.
I had this when I wasn't even a child. I was 17 or 18. And this guy, Keith Fallis, we worked at a law firm together. He was like pre-law, and he was going to become a lawyer. And I was just
right.
doing a summer job. $12 an hour. Great job. And all the free Coca-Cola you could drink. He brought in a stereo, and I was listening to it. We all used it, just a CD player. And at some point, we went to lunch, and I put the thing on pause, wherever it was, and we just went to lunch, came back. And then he was like, oh, hey. Like, he wasn't mad at me, but he goes, don't leave it on pause. I'm like, well, I didn't have a CD player. I never had
right.
one. I'm like, why? He goes, it's bad for the CD. It scratches it. I was like, oh, okay. Sure, no problem. And I was like, all right, don't leave a thing on pause. College, 3 or 4 years later, my friend, I had a CD player. My friend left my Flaming Lips single of
nice.
She Don't Use Jelly, whatever it was, on pause. I was like, don't do that. It fucks it up. And he was like, how does it fuck it up? I was like, oh, it messed it up from the spinning. He goes, how do you think a CD player works? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, it spins. When it's paused, the eye just stops moving from the center of the CD right. to the end of it. When it's on play, it just slowly moves from the center to the end of it. So it just continues. It's not touching the lens. Right. There's no scratch. Yeah. Like, what are you thinking? And I'm like, I don't. It's just bad for it. He goes, well, explain to me how.
Right.
Like, I don't. And then I realized I just had false information.
But you took it as a
and
fact.
And it ingrained in me.
Yep.
And until you're faced with well, how crazily false it is, you just assume that it's true.
Well, why do you think religion, you know, doesn't go like, okay, well, we're religion, right? So let's say religion's true. You go, so we've got the truth on our side. Like, there is this God up there. This is all real. He goes, but you could always just be like, to present it to kids like, hey, so children, this is what we believe. We believe in this, that there's this God. This is the thing. We think this is the truth. It's very controversial. Lots of people think there is no God. Some people think there's another God. Some right. people think there's this. We right. believe in this. And this is the thing. Now, once you get to be 18, we're going to let you make your own decision what you think truth is. And we're going to explain to you until then why we think this is the way it is. Now, of course, they don't do that. Yeah. They need to grab you at fucking 4 years old and go, this is it. You will go to bad places. Bad things will happen to you. You better not do this. Someone's watching you. It is true. It's a fact. There's no questioning it.
Like
there's
the version no, of the
they
Jews,
don't
that short
teach
story,
you that this is controversial. You know, it's all, of course. It's like brainwashing techniques. And nothing legitimate should need not, brainwashing.
I don't think it's thought out like that. Like, let's all brainwash the children. I think it comes from a place of like, especially the Pledge of Allegiance, back when it was the Pledge of Allegiance, back when it's all like, we love democracy. We should say, I don't think it comes from like, let's brainwash these kids so we can fuck with them. I think it's just, now that we have been, they can use that.
I don't know,
like,
man. I'm a little more cynical.
I'm not positive a 9/11 was set up, okay? But just like you said in the Reichstag, where, hey, somebody set fire to it.
Yep.
So it's not even important whether it was communist or whether it was us. The point is, we can now use this to fuck with communists.
Yeah, right.
So it doesn't matter. It's not necessarily a setup for that reason. Is that him?
No.
It is?
No, it's not. Okay. It's not. Good motherfucker.
And this is the other thing people say that I really don't like, and we'll go soon. They say, well, all these laws, Obama being able to arrest people without ever giving them a trial, being able to use drone attacks on Americans without find a way to arrest them. That's the deal with that. But anyway, people say, hey, it's a different time. When the Constitution was set up, we didn't think there was going to be terrorists. We didn't know about a world where this existed.
Okay,
that is true. When we started flying, we didn't know about people taking over planes with a gun. Then we started having to lock the cockpit door. We started having to go through metal detectors because people won't stop taking guns on. But the idea that we're living in a different society, when the Constitution was drawn up, we had a foreign power that was against us living on our soil.
Yeah.
On our soil and fighting against us from here.
Mm-hmm.
So how different
was
it? A more
powerful military.
The most powerful.
Yeah.
We had the muskets and shit.
Right.
We were the fucking rebel group.
Yep.
We had them living on our soil and saying, no, we still have to give rights to the people to not allow our government to come in.
Well, I just hate that argument in every sense. It's like, I have heard that a lot.
We can't give power to the president.
That'll be the other end of that argument is like discrediting one aspect of the founders or something like that. Like, they had slaves. So, okay. So everything's discredited. We go, look, I mean, if you believe, like, if you don't believe in the rule of law at all and leaders should just be able to do whatever feels right at the time, that's a pretty crazy power to give leaders. And if you say, like, we don't live in the same time as the Constitution, so that just means, like, when you don't feel like the times apply to the Constitution, you can just kind of violate
it.
It's like, well,
then why have it?
Look, the founders were well aware that times would change, and they wrote in an amendment process to the Constitution. They also made it very difficult so that lots of people would have to be on board before you could amend the Constitution.
But otherwise, you got to
stick to
this. But you
can amend the Constitution. Now, look, the idea that it's a different time, yeah, it is a different time. Do you think we shouldn't have freedom of speech anymore? Or do you think that's something that's withstood the test of time? Some things withstand the test of time.
Or we should have
an
amendment to the Constitution to not allow free speech.
Exactly. Right. It's
if
like
people
look,
really were against it.
Yeah. Right. And you should if that's your case. It said black people were 3/5 of human in the Constitution, we were able to amend that out of it. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not saying the Constitution was a perfect starting point, but to the idea that like, oh, it was a long time ago, therefore,
right.
Like it doesn't apply. That makes no sense. Freedom hasn't been any more or any less relevant back then than it is now.
Yeah.
You know, some things just withstand the test of time.
I don't know, man. I kind of woke up and I don't like where it's going.
I don't like
the idea that they're just doing whatever they want and they're just hiding it. We don't have a free media, so the media can really report on anything. and they can just hide anything they want to do. And then that's just the natural order of humans, that they would do that. They would try to get over on people and not tell them. And why even bother telling them? I had this job where I used to take the trunks up to Camp Moshava every year, this Jewish summer camp. They used to take them for us on the bottom of the bus.
Then Moshava is Jewish?
Yeah. Then they said, hey, we can't do that anymore. So my dad and a couple other neighbors said, oh, hey, let's rent a U-Haul truck. We'll pay some guy that works at the synagogue just to drive all our trunks up there. Everyone chip in $5-$10 for the truck and his, you know, pay him for the day. Okay. We started doing it again and again. Eventually, my dad and those neighbors didn't want to do it. My sister took over, and she charged $20 instead of $10. She goes, well, I got to make a profit.
Right.
So she'd have to, it was three trips. One, to get the trunks there for the first summer, for the first month. Then the second trip is to go take the second month's kids' stuff up and the first kid's stuff back. First month's kids' stuff back. And then the third trip is just go up there, grab the both month kids or the second month kids, bring that stuff back.
Okay.
And we started charging more and more as UPS would start charging more. Then it became like $30, then $45. And we'd leave it at $45 for a few years, then $50. And you could make a bunch of money. It was enough where I could come home from LA three times over the year and still walk away with like $2,000 or $3,000 in my pocket with trips. And I hired my friend Ami Butler to do it with me. I hired some guys to do it with me. And I paid him $200 for the day, which was more than the people were paying in the past.
Right.
And eventually he realized how much I was making. $4,000, let's say. And he goes, what the fuck? How come you're making all of it? I was like, because it's my company. I inherited it.
Right.
I set up the thing. I called all the parents. I did all this work. And I just got the benefit of having this company. Is that him?
Hold on one second. Hold on. Shit.
And he, what?
I think it is him.
Hold on.
I hit decline by accident.
Oh, really? So you got to call him back?
Yeah, I'm calling him right back.
But Ami was like, if you don't like it, you don't have to take this job. It's okay. I'm paying you quite well.
Oh, he said he's here.
He's here. Oh, let's go outside then.
Yeah, you outside? Yeah, you outside?
All right, the weed is here, everybody. Show's over. I'm going to ring the buzzer. Dave, do you have any big shows coming up? I'll put it on pause. We can do this.
All right.
Sure. We didn't get anybody's name on there. That's perfect. All right, he came.
That it took...
A pretty long podcast.
Although, man, I mean, I can fucking ramble on about this shit forever. Yeah. You know what I love? It was funny. It was just popping in my head. I remember the thing you kept saying to me.
Yeah.
About my, I knew you for a little before I think you saw my stand-up.
Yeah.
I remember the first time you saw my stand-up, what you kept saying about me was you were like, I love that you're like one of these political guys who's just like funny. You're not like preachy at all. It's just like funny. And it's just on this podcast, I'm just not funny at all. I'm just telling about what we need to do to save the country.
When I see libertarian comedy or even Republican or Democrat political comedy, it just becomes a bunch of names you've never heard, doing things you never heard about. And you're like, yeah, I guess that's wrong. And there's no jokes. You were doing something where I could clearly see with the jokes. Everyone could get the point, even though they didn't know ahead of time what you were talking about.
I like my stand-up to be like, it's about being funny and making everyone laugh. And then if you can get some other stuff in, that's great.
That's what art is. Art is entertaining while you make your point.
Exactly.
So like, even if you're trying to say, through a movie, trying to say like, you know, the male-female relationships are uneven, you got to put some explosions in if you want me to watch this.
Right, or do it in some way
Hitchcock
that's entertaining.
Hitchcock knew that. Yeah. Put fucking, you know, make it tense while I'm listening to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, good music. You can't just have point driven. You got to like make it sound cool too.
Yeah, and I hate the kind of like almost like the nobility of the comic who is just making a point or whatever. It's like, oh, you people don't want to hear me make my point up here. It's like, no, they don't.
They don't.
They want to laugh. They want to be entertained. You know, like that's your job is to
make
them laugh.
When I do TSA material, I'm real careful. But it's nice. It's kind of inspiring to see guys like that because I'm like, oh, there is a way to do it.
Well, the other thing you realize with the TSA thing is that it's much more like the difficulty with that issue is also because we're comics. We fly all the fucking time and we feel like that's part of normal life for everyone, which is
not. That's how people say this.
A lot of people don't fly.
Like, most people don't even fly. It's like, yeah, but most people haven't fucked this chick that I knew and I can still tell a story about
that. Well, that's true. But I'm just saying they don't, but people have fucked a chick.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? They don't necessarily relate to the TSA thing as much.
Yeah.
But
it's been pretty good lately. I've gotten to a point of like, sometimes I come off too preachy. I'm like too angry about it. I'm losing them. But if I'm just...
But angry and preachy are different. Like, angry is fun. Angry is fun. That's good. That's like just that something gets you angry, you know? Like,
yeah. I just lose it when I get that. My first time I tried talking about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, my friend Aaron Cater is half Palestinian. He was like, you should talk about it. But it just came out like this. Well, they're all fucking animals over there. And they just, all they want is murder. And it's like, that's not funny, man. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Although it's not a bad, it's not a bad take on it.
Yeah. There are all these Arabs. All right, do you have any dates or anything big coming up? You have your podcasts, right?
Yeah, man, I got my podcast. We've been off for the last month. We're coming back this week. It's called Part of the Problem. It's on iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Comic Dave Smith.
Was Dave Smith taken?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was not the first Dave Smith to get on the Twitter. I'm terrible at that shit, but I'm trying to get better at it.
It's all caked in. It gets really good.
Huh?
This grinder gets like so-so until it gets caked in.
Then it
gets like really good once you cake it all.
Nice.
When you're at home, that's the way to go. I sell these on the road, by the way. Only on the road. Never on my website anymore. Just grinders, tour merch.
Cool.
So my point is, give me $10. So you have your podcast. You're also on Legion of Skanks.
Also on Legion of Skanks, which is on Crete Comedy Radio. Legion of Skanks is just like
not on iTunes?
It's on iTunes as well, but I promote the Cave Comedy Radio. Jesus Christ, I always fucking say that wrong. CaveComedyRadio.com. There's other great podcasts on there too. Legion of Skanks is just like a filthy, like funny podcast with me, Big J Ogerson, and Louis J Gomez, and Ari's been on it a bunch
of
times.
And the Skanks, by the way, are not, they're not talking about girls.
We are the Legion of Skanks. We are the Skanks. Yes. And then Part of the Problem is like a political podcast with me doing a lot of, you know, shit like this. Like what
it's
we're
tough
doing
on podcasts for these to be funny, because it's very tough being able to get more information.
Dude, it's also my like thing is once I get lost in a thing where I'm really, you're like, well, you know, did the free market lead to the Great Depression? I just my brain isn't even like going for funny anymore. Yeah. I'm like really trying to break down the logic of this and like, you know.
But this is what people say, like, that's your job as a comedian. That's your responsibility. Now, I want to talk about this stuff. So in order to do that, I have to figure out a way to make it funny.
No, that's a great way to put it. But there are things that I want to talk about on stage that I haven't figured out how to make funny, so I don't talk about them on stage until I have something,
and
a
just
funny
like
comment
when
on
it's
it.
Your responsibility. Responsibility to arrest someone or arrest a bomber, it is your responsibility to figure out a way to do it or you won't be fucking infringing on the rights of an entire city.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great way
to
do it.
You just have to figure out a different way to do it. Oh, well, what's the other? What's TSA? It's better than nothing. Well, figure out a better way.
It's the same way if you went, like, and that's why the Rand Paul.
Just because I don't know what it is doesn't mean it's
not
there.
That's why the example of America is great, and that's why you have to make it for these motherfuckers like it's you. It's like the thing you said where they don't feel like it's people. Like, you go like, oh, okay, so if a shoplifter stole from my department store and then ran into Wendy's across the street, do I have the right to launch my missile launcher at Wendy's now and take out 12 people? Because if it's like, well, no, obviously not. And fucking, you know, you have the right to, if you can get him, you know what I mean, without getting the other people, you have a right to do that, but you don't have a right to do the other thing.
Yeah.
So that is that easy.
What else? Any big shows coming up? No.
No, man, I'm in the city for a while.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm around. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's test this weed. See if it's any good. All right.
Later.
What's your Comic Dave Smith on Twitter?
Yep.
Your website?
It's under construction, but it's Comic Dave Smith. It'll be up soon.
Remember when America had a middle class and an upper class? That was way before the Exodus. That was the America that we thought was number one, that would ever come, that would never die. That was just a part of fate. Too better than these sins. I know faith isn't one of them, but it should have been. Cause when things are crumbling, we had no camaraderie. Just the face of a woman's day was so despondent. We call it America. Whoa. We call it America. Whoa. Number one America with the slogan used to keep around.
Boom time. That's it. Giantly long intro, huh? I meandered, but a lot of that's what I wanted to talk about, so it's okay. And no sponsors. So, preemptively, to anyone thinking, hey, these intros are too long, I don't like them, that's part of the podcast. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy that part of the podcast. Like, here's a fun intro where I just kind of go off on a rant. A comedian goes off on a nice little rant. Anyway, you guys, oh, and also, I believe Bobby Lee is going to be doing a story with Ren Azizi at the Storyteller Show. So you can stop tweeting at him, or you can keep tweeting at him and say that you're thank him that he's doing it. Yeah, do that. Say, that's so cool that you're doing it. Bobby Lee Live, I think, at Twitter. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That's the episode. Thank you, Dave Smith. Make sure to follow him at Comic Dave Smith, or check out one of his podcasts. Legion of Skanks is a good one. That's just a fun, like, silly one that they all, him, Big J, and Luis Gomez do. And you know what? I like you guys coming to my shows wearing your fucking team colors. I saw a Boner City USA shirt in Madison. Some girl, one of the green ones, and I love it. I love when they're like, "Yeah, we discovered them through your podcast, Ari, episode 100, Deliverance, one of the funniest ones I've ever done. Check that out if you want to laugh." And then she was like, "I'm sorry, but now they're my favorite podcast." I'm like, "You don't have to be sorry. I love that. I love that you discovered one of my friends through this." Like, I'm not just putting on airs. It really makes me happy. It's one of the things that make me happy in life. Weed, fucking, people discover, me exposing you to my friends. When Pete Carbone, I got Pete Carbone. He was in commercial agency. He's a comedian in LA, one of the guys we started with. And he looks like me. He's in my category commercially, I guess. But curly hair. And he was talking about his agency, his commercial agency. And he didn't have, they weren't sending him out. He was real dry, Carbone. Real slow. "I'm Pete Carbone." Here's one of his jokes. I'll do it in his voice. Okay, here it is. Where's my phone? Okay, here it is. You can tell how old it is. He goes, "Here's how I feel about..." Wait, let me think if I'm getting this right. Okay, here is what it's like. Do you think George Bush minds those people protesting on the White House lawn? I think he thinks of them much how I think of the WNBA. Like, sure, it's annoying, but let them feel like they're making a difference. That's not a clip anywhere. But Pete Carbone asked me for help getting a commercial agency. And I was like, "Yeah, sure. Let's talk to Lawrence, Aqua. He's the best commercial agent in the fucking world. He's awesome. We need time for renegotiation. That guy's a fucking straight rapist. Lawrence Haar at Aqua Talent is the best commercial agent in the world." And I said, "Yeah, sure. Let me tell him about you." And he had a day job where he was typing shit for people, Carbone. He could do it on his own time, so it was good that he could go. But he had to put in fucking 8 hours a day at random times. And type for 8 hours a day. It was a shitty day job, and it was stopping him from being creative. And within 6 months at Aqua, he booked 6 commercials, and he quit his job. He quit that day job. And a part of me legitimately felt like I was quitting a day job. It was like the same, not as good as he felt, but it's probably like 30% of that. Comics, we're all in this together. We're in the same boat. It's us against them. We're in the same boat. We got to help each other. Nobody's competing. I have never had a commercial where I've been on a Vails for it. When you get a Vails, it means that they say they put 3 or 4 or 5 people on a Vails, which means you did your audition, you did your callback, and then they say they want to make sure you're available on that date. And so they call your agent. They say, "Hey, can you be available on January 3rd? We are shooting that day, January 3rd to January 6th, maybe, whatever they say. And if you're shooting an episode of One Life to Live or whatever else, you say, "No, I can't. I can do January 3rd and 4th, but not the 5th and 6th. So they say, "Well, let's see when we're shooting your thing." And they might say, "Okay, yeah, we're shooting your part on the 3rd. You're fine." Or they might say, "No, we're shooting on the 6th. Anyway, I've gotten a commercial where somebody else was on a Vails, couldn't do it. And then they went to me, who was also on a Vails, and I ended up getting it because they couldn't. But when they put you on a Vails, that's like them saying, "You're good enough to do this. No matter who we end up getting, we all agree you guys are good enough. And then we'll talk about it a little bit and decide who our best guy is. But we're putting you all on a Vails right now." So you pass through. So maybe it might even be 2 or 3 people. But you're good enough to get it. I have never been on a Vails for something that my friend, that anybody else I know booked. I've gotten callbacks for stuff that other people I know booked, but I did a shitty job of the callback. I have never been good enough to get something and then had someone else. If not for my friend getting something, I would have gotten it. When Jeff Richards got Saturday Night Live, that was the first person I knew that got something big. I wasn't auditioning for it. Didn't affect me in any way. I started realizing it's the Comedy Store when Mitzi started passing people, and I was like, oh, how come they got passed and not me? Eventually, I realized it wasn't them or me. It just wasn't me. So if it wasn't going to be me, then why not be my friend? When David Taylor got passed and he apologized because I had been there longer trying to get passed, I did 34 showcases at the Comedy Store. I did 34 showcases before I got passed. A week ago, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, last week, was my 34th showcase for Mitzi, and she finally said, okay, you're a paid regular. It was the hardest thing I've ever worked for in my life. But when David Taylor got passed, he probably was like, I'm sorry, I feel like bad. And I had already realized at that point. I was like, don't be. I wasn't getting passed that day. It was not going to happen. And when I finally did get passed, Kirk Fox and Rick Ingram also got passed that day. It's not an us or them situation. Why did I say all that about Carboni? I don't know. Oh, I know why. Check out Legion of Skanks, you guys. That was so long. This outro is brought to you by the people who gave me heavy handshakes in Calgary. I can't believe I found it on my own. I don't usually find my way back. So, check out Legion of Skanks podcast and check out all the people that are on my show. Don't forget, make your tickets now. Get tickets because people in here in Calgary forgot and they got shut out and they couldn't get in. It happened in Madison too. Set the record in Madison for most people on Thursday. Most people have ever had. We set the record. People were outside in the lobby watching on screens. Like 30 of them. It was so fucking cool. Man, I love crowds. It's like, that's another one of those things that brings me happiness. Fuck, I love it. Good crowds in Calgary. Thursday night crowd, I apologize. I was a little off. It was still pretty good, but it was not my best. And then Friday, I took that walk, and I looked over my material, too, and I fucking prepared a little bit. And both Friday shows fucking killer. Anyway, and when a comic's not his best, everyone says, oh, this material's this, or this material's like a B+ instead of an A. It's not. It's the material's fine. It's just that we don't do our pauses at the right time. We don't know how to give looks right. We're just maybe I'm tired from flying. I woke up that day for morning radio. I had to take a nap and then get up again. Who knows? But it was a B+ when it should have been an A. It was a B. Let's be honest with ourselves. So anyway, check out the spot. Wait, what was I saying? Oh, no. Get tickets to Cobbs with Joey Diaz in San Francisco, October 10th, 11th, 12th. Don't fucking wait. Get tickets to the Storyteller Show. Just get reservations now. You can still get in, but get reservations now. St. Louis, hurry up and buy tickets. It's all on my website, me and Joey Diaz in St. Louis. Sacramento, I'm not coming. I believe Brian Callen is going to replace me, so it's going to be Brian Callen and Joey Diaz in Sacktown. By the way, all the openers in Madison, fucking good job. You guys are really good. Yeah, that's it. That's all the shows I guess I have coming up, right? Yeah. All right, you guys. So, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank episode. If you have submissions, by the way, for t-shirts, send them to Twitter. If you want to just do an outline of something. Oh, and Diaz and I need a poster for St. Louis, and we need a poster for... I'm trying to give people the experience of a rock club, of a rock a band, I mean. That's what I want to mimic. I'm not doing those fucking cheese dick t-shirts. So we need a cool poster for San Francisco. Something's got to do with the town or October 10th, 11th, 12th, whatever's in October. Or the city, but we're doing 3 days at Cobbs. You know how those cool old rock posters were? You know, Led Zeppelin... at the Palladium, June 7th. You don't have to say the year. Year could be cool because I'm way later. It's like, what's it called? Then you're like, when was that? And then you can see right there. But we're just going to have like 50 of them, sell them at the show. Like, I want to do those nice printings, however you do those. That and St. Louis. So if you guys have something, if you don't want to fill it in, do all the work, just do an outline maybe and send it to us on Twitter. And we'll be like, yeah, it's cool. Or change this or that maybe. And then we can sign something at the show so people can have posters. Silkscreen. Is that what it's called? Not the shitty kind of Kinko's runoff posters, but like green screen. It's not green screen. It's some sort of screen. Yeah. I saw Brendan Walsh had a Flaming Lips poster that he paid $60 for. And I was like, how? He goes, it's one of those silk screens or whatever it's called. It's really nice. You know, it's like almost paint on there. It's not just like a laser printer. And he goes, and it's like, there's only this many made. And he framed it and he loved it. And I was like, that's the experience of a fan. So yeah. So help us out. Make us a poster and we'll fucking have them. We'll send you one. We'll get you free tickets to a show. We're not going to make any money off them. Not much. They cost so much. It's okay for the Flaming Lips because you make so many. They have their own silk screeners. But all right. Thanks, you guys. Right? Is that it? Yeah, I guess that's it. These fucking underwear chafe the fuck out of my dick. Certain underwear. There's an anti-ad for the Gap. I forgot to pack my underwear and socks. I was packing. I missed my flight. The traffic was so bad getting to Newark. This is why nobody flies to Newark. Joey Diaz told me, don't fly to Newark, cocksucker. Use your fucking head. I'm like, what does that mean? Don't test me. What does that mean? So I found out what it means. I sat for 45 minutes in a block and a half of traffic getting out of the Holland Tunnel. Realized eventually, from going from like, I'll be plenty early to this flight to, oh, I'm not going to make this flight. Had to tell the, right before we got on, I told the captain, turn around, head to LaGuardia. Let's try to find some flight because I ain't making it. There was no other WestJet flights from Newark. So I eventually got an Air Canada flight last minute, paid a bunch of extra. Super Artist fucking helped me book stuff real quick. The fucking best PA agency in the world. Nobody else does that. Nobody else helps you like that last minute. Tells you where you're going. It's fucking Desiree. She does it for us. She helps us. Super Artist is cool. But what was I going to say? Not somebody chewing. That's a loogie. So I forgot to pack underwear and socks. I was in such a rush to, I don't know, I just didn't think about it. I was thinking about how cold it would be. Whatever, I'm a stoner. So I got here, I only had the pair of socks I had on me, and, let's open this up. And, I had to go to the Gap to get stuff. I wore one sock to morning radio. Does anyone know why I wore one sock and not two when I had both socks that were on me when I flew here? Correct, because I needed to masturbate into one before I went to sleep and then realized, I don't have socks in morning radio. And so I wore the one unmasturbated to radio. And then went to Gap, bought socks, bought underwear. These underwear fucking chafe at me. The fucking fly is too far back. So when your dick hangs, it fucking rubs up against. And I wanted like 2-hour walk yesterday. Now my dick's all chafed up. While I was on stage last night, I had to pull my dick through because it kept doing it. Because I bought 4 pairs of the same brand of underwear. So I was like, oh, maybe it's just that I was wearing this particular, pair. No, it was every one. So I took a shower. Next pair, it's the same thing. I had to pull my dick through the hole in the underwear while I was on stage. So it wouldn't chafe. It's like scraped on the head. Anyway, you guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you, Dave Smith, for talking to us. I know a lot of that. There's a lot of information there. And so it's like it's tough to like center on one thing because there's a lot of shit they do. So then you come across, another part of something that just shows that we don't really have control. It's not just the government. I don't know any about the fucking Illuminati. I don't know anything about that. I just know that human nature. I'm an observer of human nature. And human nature is this. You will take more if you are allowed more. Women that don't work for a living, when their husbands or boyfriends just support them, they eventually get used to not working and they start demanding even more stuff. If it's like, okay, I'll sweep in return for rent. Eventually, you stop sweeping because you're like, what happens if I don't? Nothing. People get complacent. People want to take more power. That's why the UCB doesn't fucking pay anybody because they're like, well, you know, we had the, they're just, that's normal fucking human behavior. Just why would I pay when I don't have to? That's why no podcast pays anybody. Because if you don't have to, if no one expects it, why would you? When I pay comics because you guys fucking support me, and they're like, what's this money from? I'm like, no, don't worry about it. It's from sponsors. It's from sponsors and people supporting. From the Amazon link, from people checking out the sponsor, whatever it is. It's already in there. And they're like, or some people go like, oh, I've never gotten that before. I'm like, never gotten what before? Paid to be funny? Because that's ridiculous. You're a comic. Of course you have. And they're like, no, a podcast. I'm like, paid to be funny is what you're doing. Anyway, but people just don't want to pay. That's just normal. People want to take more power. Why wouldn't they? Cops become crooked. Not when they sign up, but eventually. You're like, oh, wait, nobody can do anything to me? Kids find out that if they... I was at Renazisi's house, and his son was splashing water. We were in the pool, and he was splashing water in my face. And Steve Renazisi had a rule. Jackson, there's no splashing allowed. And so Jackson goes, okay, I'm sorry. And Jackson is... He's one of my favorite types of children because he is a Dennis the Menace type. We had one of these in my – it was my cousin. I forgot his name in Israel. Osnat and Amnon's kid. And when he was young, he was such a fucking troublemaker. Every one of his pictures, you could see his eye looking off to the left or the right. And that's where you could trace the line to where he had just like broken a vase or like done something no one had found out about yet. That he thought he was in trouble. And they're like, get over here. And he goes, ooh. And he's like, oh, I'm not in trouble. We're just taking a picture. Oh, cool. Let me suntan my dick a little bit. So he said, Jackson, no splashing. We have a rule. All right. I don't know. They have a rule, no splashing. Maybe it gets annoying after a while. So Jackson's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then 2 or 3 minutes later, Steve wasn't looking. Jackson splashed me again. He likes punching people. Jackson, by the way, Steve Renazisi has a special coming out in November on Comedy Central. Everybody tune in. It's fucking long, long past due, and it's going to be amazing. And he goes, Jackson splashed me again. Steve goes, Jackson, you splash one more time, you get a 1 minute timeout, which I think is a cool, it's not, you can stick to that as a punishment. You're not saying you're grounded where now the fucking parents have to do it. It's enough for the kid. It's enough for the kid would have to be like, oh, this is painful. I'm getting a reprimand from my father. But, you know, it's over in a minute. Relax. He didn't fucking stab somebody. 3 minutes later, Jackson splashed me again. And Steve goes, because there were no repercussions. He was just threats. And Steve goes, all right, Jackson, that's it. 1 minute timeout. And Jackson goes, okay, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I'm sorry. Because now he's seeing a repercussion. When a TSA agent can steal... And the other agents know they're stealing and no one does anything, why would they stop stealing? When they can like take any woman in line and be like, oh, she's hot, I want to feel her tits. Let's subject her to a fucking pat down. Or whatever you want to do. Oh, this guy, I don't like him. He comes through here a lot. Let's fuck with him. That's not helping protect this plane, but they can do that. And uh-oh, are we going to get in trouble? No, we won't get in trouble. Even if we outright abuse our rights. So, all right, I'll do it again then. Or Bob does it. He doesn't get in trouble. Fuck it. I'm going to do it too. That's normal human behavior. So I don't think there's an Illuminati kind of thing of like trying to take over the world. I think it's people in government. I think it's big business. If you have enough money, why would you not try to change public policy to help your business? Why would you not? Why would you not? If you're like, oh, well, I can't get this shit done because the media is reporting on me, why would you not just buy the media? Of course you would. Why would you not give money to a campaign so that they will change the law slightly? It's not the law like now you can kill people. It's a law of like, hey, don't raise minimum wage for a little while because I need to open a plant here. Or whatever it is. Allow this much tree farming to be done instead of that much because, you know, I have to build a development here. That's small scale. I'm talking about massive businesses. Businesses are almost like organisms. They need to thrive and survive. That's why the TSA becomes a bureaucracy, becomes a business. It moves from 16,000 people were supposed to be in the beginning, 16,500, 16,500. And now it's 65,000 people because they're like, well, let's get unions, let's get benefits, let's hire more people, we need more breaks. And in 12 years, it's quadrupled in size when nothing new has happened. Organisms want to survive and thrive. And business is like a person, and it becomes corruptible. That's what will happen. There's so few companies like Ben and Jerry's who will pay no employee over 100 times any other employee. So their CEOs cannot get that the crazy bonuses, and their scoopers, their ice cream scoopers, can't get $3.50 an hour. They have to get paid a decent wage. And Ben and Jerry's isn't making as much, but they're still pretty profitable. But we know about shit like that because it's rare. Most of the time, people just say, yeah, I'm making money. Why would I, you know, why would I change it? And they don't. The NCAA, they're still not paying athletes. And they started those rules that they can't get paid in the fucking 30s and 20s, 50s, whatever, when people weren't, there was no money in NCAA sports. But now there's billions of dollars, and they continue to not pay them. Why? Because it's all their money now. That's why on Different Strokes, none of the actors made shit. Until eventually the actors like, hey, what the fuck? You have to pay us. That's why Gary Coleman was doing fucking Cash the Gold commercials. Everybody knows his name, and he was doing Cash the Gold commercials. So some Jew could be a billionaire. Why would they give up money in case they had to? Why would the government give up power? If they can know they can go into whatever, they want to do something, but they need the support of the American people. They're like, well, how about we just fake what we need to do, call attention to the Holocaust, call attention to whatever else we're doing, and then we can just get support. Or if they don't support us, we'll just fucking sneak it in later. We'll sneak it. We'll do it anyway. We'll say, okay, we're not allowed to exactly like start a war without congressional approval. Then we'll just call it an offensive. We don't call it a war. Guess what? We can do whatever we want. And they're no longer representing us. There's a lot of information here, so I'm sorry if it got kind of like spaced out, but I'm trying to understand it now as I go. I've become disillusioned with the land I live in. I've woken up. I was told that it will all get worked out for me, and I'm now realizing it won't. And honestly, you don't have to care. You don't have to care. I understand that. One, I don't think voting is the way to change it. I don't think they're going to, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, listen, you guys. Honestly, I have no idea what's going on anywhere. I have no real clue. Part of me just wants to think, like, just enjoy the fucking small, fun things and take the abuse. You can't do anything. Voting's not going to change anything. So what? I don't know. You just sort of lose faith and keep going. Just like fucking Game of Thrones. The powerful people just fucking, they play the games. And we're the peasants. We're the peasants of America. And if they need to get their way, they don't mind killing a couple peasants. They don't mind putting a couple peasants out. They never have. Eh. Who gives a shit, right? Just enjoy your walks. Just enjoy taking walks. Enjoy smoking reefer on a warm Canadian day. Have fun on dates. Do fun things. Go see a concert. I don't know. Enjoy yourself. Anyway, that's the episode, everybody. Ari Shaffir Skeptic. I don't know the answer, you guys. I really don't know. And I'm sure there's things I don't understand, but anybody who doesn't open their books, they're always crooked. Baseball is like, no, we don't want to show you our books, but we can tell you we're all losing money. And you're like, really? And the price of the teams keep going up. It's like the movie industry, they never show their books. They're like, no, we actually lost money on another movie for advertising reasons. It's just like anyone who doesn't show their books is up to something. Just show us. And the government's always like, well, we can't tell you because it'll create mass panic. Shut up, mass panic. All right, you guys. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 133. Fuck the Government with Dave Smith, over and out.